Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
You there, Dakota? K-8-R-U-H. K-8-R-U-H. Anthony, I don't know if you can hear me. Something screwed up with my radio. I got just tons of noise coming into it. Give me 1 second, Dakota. K-8-R-U-H. NADBS to anybody. Good morning. Good morning. So I have the cable and the software with me, but I do have to meet with Tom. So I think you and I will pass cross paths before he and I. So I have to coordinate it, but I'm just leaving. Okay, I ordered a cable. Well, it's not a big deal. It's like $9. It's literally just a serial cable, which I probably have some at work too. And I did not know that I needed to get the software. Is it on a disk? Do I need to bring home a disk drive? I got a disk with this cable. I'm not sure if that's what I use. I don't recall. It's possible. Yeah, if you use this disk, yes. Okay, well, I have a drive at home, at the office, so I can bring that home, a USB to CD, so worst case scenario. It's working good. I couldn't figure out what was up with my radio this morning. I forgot when I programmed it to reset all the squelch, so I just had tons of noise coming in. But I'm on it right now, and I'm in downtown Omaha. That's why you sound so good. Yeah, this kind of ruined me. I don't think I want to do anything else now. And my wife, for some reason, does not care about the airplane under my desk taking off every time it keys up.
Oh, the fan on that one runs whenever it transmits?
Yeah, the thing will ID, and it'll spin up, and it'll spin for like 5 minutes. So I ordered what the hell did I order? I didn't order an Octua this time. I tried a Be Quiet. It was like half the price. So it's like 19 decibel. It's almost the same RPM. It's the same size. I just need to make an adapter for the JSP plug.
Well, I can imagine you're happy because you are coming in as if you were 15 miles from your house.
And Anthony, he did tell you that's that ICOM unit that we were gonna put up in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's not that great. We should probably find a better one for Grosse Pointe.
Ah, there you go. Well, like I said, I gotta get climbers. That's a serious antenna job, so I have there's no particular time when I think that's going to get done. I'm going to have to figure out how or when that's going to get done, because I ain't paying for it out of my pocket. So I got to make sure there's some sort of work being done or something.
Yeah, he did let me know that that's the one that I had given you, and he's going to be torture testing it, if you will. So, yeah, it'll be good to make sure that it's in great working condition before you get to put it in place. And when it comes back around to you, Sean, what does something like that cost? Just because I have absolutely no idea. Is it $1,000? Is it $10,000? Over to you, Dakota.
for what I'm trying to accomplish, if cats wore pajamas, I mean, that would be it. This thing is just, it's so convenient because I was able to just plug things in and it just worked. I had to fight with ASL because I don't know ASL at all, but I learned the easiest way to fix it is V on the simple USB tune to see the COS, CTCSS, and the status of all that, and then make the changes accordingly. So I was able to get back up and running relatively quick. But yeah, I mean, this thing's awesome. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, the first thing you got to figure out is the COR. So I usually set, you know, COR and CTCSS to, if I've got a complete unknown, usually they're inverted, active low. But if I'm having trouble, I shut them both off, and then I go inverted and non-inverted on, like, the one, and then I turn that one back off, and I turn inverted, non-inverted on the other, you know. So there's a little, like, a little truth table you can make to go through all the possible combinations. But generally, it's going to be, you know, the same for CTCSS. And most of the time, you're not even using one of the audios, A or B, usually B, or CTCSS. Sometimes you are, sometimes you aren't. You know, sometimes all you need is your COR, and, you know, you can just leave the other one off. But it's just a little bit of a, you know, you got to kind of get familiar with it. And then, you know, and then between that status screen where you can look at all the active inputs and outputs and the test tones and all that stuff, you can get them set up pretty damn quick. Anywho, Anthony, when you say how much does something like that cost, I assume you mean to get the tower work done. I paid $2,000 a piece for when I did all my microwave work. I could probably get it for less than that. We could probably get a guy to do the job we need there done for about $1,000, but I don't know. But I'm going to say that, you know, anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. I have to go look at it, though. It depends on how much complication there's going to be with the nest, the existing nest. You know, usually they crawl through those to get up above them. You know, and then how much room do they have for a crew? That also plays into the role.
Yeah, for sure.
Florida Romeo. It's got It's got the same amount of rope as the clear no did when we tested, but just clean. Yeah, I'll be on eBay every day looking for one of those. And Anthony, keep your eyes peeled for me, please, because I think, for the, like I said, the use case, it's about as good as it gets, as easy as it gets. It's plugged into a UPS. It's going to run back up on Starlink. I mean, it'll just stay up. So very convenient. I think I am going to order a different 239 to N adapter. Right now I have this little jumper from when I was using the duplexer that sucks. It was like $8, and it's RG316 N to PL. So I'm going to cut that out. I think it'll probably clean up the signal a little bit and probably reduce some of the loss.
Yeah, it'll be good to get all that stuff ironed out for Sean. That way, when he does put it in place, it won't be an issue.
So, are you on it now? Because you're like absolute full quieting. Or did you switch over to Romeo?
I'm on Romeo now. It was getting a little squirrely there. I'm almost a 32-mile road, so I should be full quieting. My antenna is facing the repeater. That's probably a quarter mile away from me. But like I said, it bridged the gap pretty damn well. There was a little section over by Boardman or Kidder right there where it's just up and down and some trees, but it cleaned up when I got out of there. And then by the time I got out of there, it started to get a little noisy or a little further south, and I switched to Romeo, and it's full quieting, and I should stay full quieting pretty much the whole way. Not full quieting, but should stay good pretty much my whole commute, except for that hole on 53.
Guys, I'm going to hop out for a few minutes. I'm walking into the office. It's KE8RUH. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Roger. Let's cut you. So where are you? So you said you're around 32. What's your ETA? Where am I? I am coming up on the hospital, so I'll be jumping on 59 here shortly.
I am 21 minutes out, right at 32, going through the light. So should, as long as there's no shenanigans, I should be there in a timely manner.
All right, I could head north again. We could do that. And just trying to think. When does, you say new, better comms itinerant?
Right when I say that, they got lane closure on 53 and no one's letting me over. All right, I made it through the stupidity of the morning.
Oh, man, hold on. All right, here, just getting on 59 here. So when I get to Van Dyke, maybe I'll take Van Dyke north. Tom's going to be coming south. He's got to go to New Haven, which is kind of on my way to where I got to go. So I could come north on 53, meet you like we did yesterday, then I could shoot across and pick up Tom if I can catch him in New Haven. I just don't know for sure what his schedule is.
Are you in the field again? And Tom's usually a little bit later, isn't he?
Yeah, Tom's he's got to leave Memphis. He's got to stop and pick somebody up in New Haven. Then they've got to go to Willow Run. So that's get on 94 all the way kind of an affair. And I gotta at least be to north and north of 32 on north, so I can get within a couple of miles of them. It's just a matter of timing.
Well, you tell me what you want to do. I'm 18 minutes out. I'm cooking down 53, so you tell me.
I think I'm going to go north here on 53. It'll just be a matter of whether our meetup is 26 or 23 again.
Okay. I'm probably 2 to 3 minutes out from 26.
All right, then it sounds, then I think 23 is probably going to work out again, because I am just coming up on the freeway here on 59, so I'm probably similar.
Okay, yeah, we can do the same thing as yesterday. How hard is it to screw around in that repeater? Is it, I know you were saying the one, like, arbitrary numbers, or the motos were.
I started the key up when he keyed up, and when I unkeyed, I think I missed just the very beginning of what you were saying there, so not quite sure what the question was.
I was asking how hard that repeater is to program, because you were saying the radius, you got to kind of put in arbitrary numbers and set power levels. Is the ICOM a little more straightforward than that, or is it the same thing?
I have no clue. I don't remember the programming on it being all that strange, but I never got into, you know, any kind of service menu or any kind of setting. I mean, for all I know, it could be a pot, you know, that you set, not done with software. I don't know anything about that radio. I'm sure, you know, if you look at the individual radios, I think they're like F221s or something like that, and that's an F221 repeater or something like that. And if you, I'm sure if you look online, you can find some info on them. But, all right, just on the freeway here, I'm south of 20 of, just north of Hall, so I'm probably a couple of minutes out of 23. Are you south of 26?
Yeah, I'm just passing it right now, so I'll just meet you at 23, and I was doing a little reading last night, too, so it's like a CSF T21F, but that's the enclosure, not the radios. The radios, I can't remember off the top of my head what they were called. Initially, the internet was saying they were like FR 5000 or 6000 RF decks, but they're not. I can't remember what the model is, but that's what I was reading too, is some people were saying there's a potentiometer in there, but I don't believe there is. It's all got to be done in software, so it should not be that hard. I'm sure I'll be able to figure it out. I was just curious if you knew anything about it, but if it's anything like the other ICOM stuff, it should be pretty straightforward.
I should have brought a watt meter, because if you have to set power in software, that's it's usually an arbitrary number, you know, and you set that number to what you read on the watt meter. You know, there won't be a setting in there that says, you know, 5 watts or 10 watts or anything like that. It's just an arbitrary number that you set based on watt meter readings.
Well, the good thing is it's only a 25-watt repeater, so I shouldn't screw it up too bad.
It's really all a matter of what the radios can handle full, you know, 25 could be too much, or it could be nothing, you know, like if it's a 100-watt radio, 25 is really throttled back and probably run really cool. At, you know, mobiles have an expected duty cycle of, you know, let's say 10-10-90 or something like, or 10-10-80, let's say, but a repeater might be, you know, who knows what a repeater gets up to. But the duty cycle just gets so high on a repeater because it has to transmit for everybody that they have to be, you know, a mobile has to be derated significantly to handle that. It's not designed to heat sink that amount of power for that long. So really, it's really a matter of the heat sink design and, you know, if it's a 25-watt radio out of the box, that could be too high for really high duty cycle. So I'd say it's just not as simple as the numbers either. You know, if it were a 100-watt radio, then 25 might be to do that all day standing on its head, you know. So there's that. But really it's just a matter of, you know, just kind of when it's really cooking, just kind of reach in there and feel it and see. And if it seems to be handling it with a fan, you know, pretty hot's okay, you know, but you should be able to touch it, you know, like, and keep your hand there for a second or so, you know, and, you know, like, oh, that's warm, you know, and, you know, usually that's okay. It's, you know, when it's cooking.
Connected to CMN Network.
Like, I shouldn't be able to boil an egg on it kind of deal. Yeah, I'm going to do some reading on it this morning just so I better understand it. And I don't want to damage it before it gets deployed in its actual use case. So I'll educate myself on it. But even last night, I mean, it was warm, but I could keep my hand on it. And that was with the fan unplugged. So I think it'll be okay. But then again, we weren't, you know, we're, what, 20 minutes into this QSO here. So who knows? Unfortunately, I'm not home.
Roger. All right. Just got off at 23. Where are you at?
I am going through the light and pulling in the parking lot.
All right. I see you turning in. I'm sitting there.
Yet again, perfect timing. NADDF.
You know, it's sub-20s again. Good grief.
KE8RUH.
Back, Cotter.
Sean, I was going to text you yesterday and I forgot to. I got another batch of 7,000s that I came up with yesterday. Unfortunately, they're VHF again.
Did you ever move any of those other ones? Were they at least lucrative?
Not yet. I actually haven't linked up with John in quite a while. He's been super busy with the ARPSC stuff, and he wiped them clean for me because at one point we were testing them, and he had put programmed all four, well, I have five of them. So now I probably will have eight of them or so that I gotta figure out where to move them to. Unfortunately, they're VHF. Otherwise, it'd be great for around here.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, they're useful. They're just not, for us, they're not quite as useful. Because, you know, we do everything we do as UHF, but you know, there's still plenty of VHF. So, you know, where they would be really handy is, you know, in the ARPSC realm. Because they're going to have 800, well, they can't, yeah, never mind. They wouldn't be able to get them programmed. So that functionality would not help.
So are we going to go 800 in 10 years?
I'll find somebody to take them up. I know there's some buyers on the East Coast, some Motorola shops and stuff like that. I just got to get in contact with them.
Yeah, as far as going 800, I mean, there's no allocation for hams up there. The only closest thing we got is 900, and that's far enough to where you just can't repurpose 800 equipment. So there's no supply of equipment, infrastructure-wise. Yeah, it's a very little bit. There were some Quantars that were 900 capable, and Motorola sold an XTS 2500 that was 900 capable. You know, but it's just not, you know, just wasn't a lot of it. And so the surplus market for that stuff is pretty shy. So that's why it keeps 900 and 220 for that matter, you know, kind of redheaded stepchildren of amateur radio. There's just no surplus equipment to get experimenting on the band. You know, you got to make the full investment, go buy a brand new 220 repeater or a brand new, and they're not easy to find. Not a lot of people producing for either one of those bands at all, so you can't even really go buy. So it's just really tough to You know, you can do it. I mean, there's no doubt you can do either one, but you know, it's just not like UHF and VHF and all that stuff. So it'd be nice if we had a little slice of 800. Man, could we have some fun then, but that ain't ever going to happen. Too valuable.
Tom, I think Tom hopped in there. Go ahead, Tom.
I did not hear him on this side.
Huh. Well, I'm looking for him, so he shows up. Am I doing okay? I'm on 23-mile road at Romeo Plank. Am I still okay in the Warren, or should I switch?
You're okay for now. Yeah, Tom called out right as you started talking last time, Sean, so he may be out there, or he may be texting you, so we'll give him another chance. Tom, you out there? I guess not. Go ahead, Dakota.
Maybe he got a phone call.
Maybe he got a booty call.
Gross.
I don't know why I took Garfield, Sean.
Yeah, I thought you'd do the same thing you did yesterday. Probably because that truck was there in the left turn lane. But, yeah, I just passed Romeo Plank, so you'd already be heading south on Romeo Plank at 23, of course. So I don't know if that would have worked out better.
All right, I heard Tom again. Tom, go ahead.
Sorry about that. I had to run in and get coffee. Where are you at, Sean?
I am on 23-mile road between Romeo Plank and North. My plan was I had to meet up with Dakota this morning, so I met him at 23 and 53. And then I'm shooting across, so I'm hoping that I can catch you at the New Haven stop, or you're going to have to let me know what your itinerant is.
New Haven sounds like a plan. I'm still in Memphis, heading my way down there. I got to go to Livonia, so that's perfect.
And if I understand correctly, you're going to New Haven, right? It's not like, it's not a special detour, right? That you have to go to New Haven.
Correct. I have to go to New Haven in order to get on the freeway. So I'll be right, you know, it'll take me about 15 to get there.
All right, should work out perfect. I know exactly where you're going to pick up, what is it, M19 there? Or no, is that M19? What is that? Anyhow, I know what you're doing. And so we can probably meet up right around there. And that's right on my way where I got to go pretty much.
Yeah, New Haven Road in Grash, it is M19.
Hey, guys, I'm going to check out here. Good talking to everybody this morning. Hopefully we'll catch you guys in the afternoon. This is KERUH. Have a good morning, and everybody travel and stay safe.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you later.
Good morning, Dakota.
Dakota, how are you coming along?
Later, Anthony. Sean, Tom, you guys doubled. Sean won. I am finally turning on the Hall Road, so I'm making my way. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, just saying. Take it easy, Anthony. Talk to you later today. Dakota, is there bad traffic down there that you got, you took Garfield, or was that just a smart move?
I only took Garfield because I didn't feel like dealing with getting on 53 again from 23 because there was a giant semi in the way, and it added 4 minutes. So traffic was moving. It was fine. Just not as fast. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, we met up, so he had to get off at 23, and we did a handoff, and then he either have to go get back on 53 or find an alternate route. He did the alternate. Just going through north right now. It was a little farther away than I thought.
I am approaching the driveway here. Sean, I wanted to ask you, I had a quick question. I don't think it is going to matter. If I got my 705 set to 1 milliwatt and the SWR sucks because it's going into like a little stubby HT antenna, that's not going to hurt anything, right? Heat's the only thing that's going to kill it.
Yes. You know, they can handle some abuse, but And if you got the power ran down that low, I'm sure it's not going to be enough to hurt it. It heats the indicator. And probably, you know, probably ultimately what kills them. So you're probably fine doing that. But I don't know that I'd want to, you know, do that on the regular.
Okay, yeah, because when I do the SWR sweep, it doesn't even register on the meter, but I figure that's just because there's not enough power going into it. But I'll have to mess around with it. There's a ground lug on there, and I think that's why it's so bad. So maybe if I ground it to my desk, it'll work a little bit better, because that's my glorified Supernode radio that I sit and use at my desk. I don't want to damage it. That's why I keep it on like the lowest power setting possible.
Get a little screw-on dummy load. You screw right on the end of the connector, and then you just run it into a dummy load. Nice, perfect flat match. And that'll work. Anyhow, Tom, I'm just going to be turning north on Gradiot here.
North on which street?
Gradiot.
Okay, you at 32 then?
Gratiot. At 23 in Gratiot. And heading north.
Gotcha. All right. I'm just getting into town here. Pick a spot. I mean, if you gotta go east, or if you gotta go over 94, you know, to hit a site, or you're gonna go back west into Armada. Wherever you got around, man, like I said, New Haven Road is where I gotta go to get on the freeway.
Yeah, no, just focus on where you gotta go. I'm heading for the exact same spot. So before you make the turn, you know, to off of Gratiot, you know, I'm hoping that we'll have a meeting place just north of there. But I can go all the way up to Richmond for where I gotta go. So you just continue south, and as soon as I start to get close, I'll figure out where you are, and we'll just figure out a, you know, pullover spot.
I'm going to jump, guys. I'll catch you later at ATDF.
Later.
See you, Dakota. Hey, Sean, do you know where the Lenox Township Hall is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, meet me on that lot. That's only like 30 seconds from the freeway.
Well, if that's where you're at, you know, like I say, let me... Where are you at right now?
Downtown Richmond. You know, I got to obey the speed laws.
All right, so you were going to take 19 to Gratiot and then take Gratiot down to New Haven and hop on the freeway, right?
100%, sir.
All right, when you get on South Gratiot, let me call out because I might be north of there. So we'll work it out so that we just, what the hell's going on here? Huh. Got some sort of road closure or something here at 24. That will work. That's where the fire department is, right? Or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, Lenox Township Hall is right across the street from the fire department.
All right, that'll probably about work. So I'll let you know as I'm heading north. So, very good. I'm going to have to probably switch repeaters here shortly.
So far, so good. A little bit of crackle, but not much. I'm on Richmond, so you sound fine to me for right now. KC8KJO, because I haven't done that.
I just switched over to Richmond. W8FU. Whoops, on the wrong frequency. I'm on the, I'm at the light at the 94 New Haven split thingy.
Okay, I'm at 31 in Gratiot, or 31M19, whatever you want to call it.
All right, this should work out pretty good. So I'm cruising through here. I will, now the township halls are they in the same complex as the fire department, across, you know, or are they on the other side of Gratiot?
Township Fire Department is with the EMS and all that, is on the east side of Gratiot, and Township Hall, the big building, is on the west side of Gratiot.
All right, I was thinking of the complex with the EMS and Lennox Fire and all that stuff, so I'm not seeing it in my mind's eye. So, but I know where the fire department is, so I'll look for the township hall on my left, and I will be there.
Oh, no, the fire hall is perfectly fine. The EMS fire hall that you're familiar with? Absolutely. We'll hit there. That's not a problem. That's a quick in and out for you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, they're both quick in and out. I just can't visualize the township hall. I don't normally ever go there, you know, but I go to the fire department there frequently. So I can see it, you know. So that's all. So they're both equally easy if they're both right there. So anywho, of course I'm behind a garbage truck that's, you know, taking about a half an hour to get up to speed out the light. Barely doing the speed limit, drive me up the wall. Plus, I can't see past it.
That's funny. I thought the fire hall was across from the township hall, but apparently not. So that means the fire hall is down here, just south.
I'm at the fire hall right now. So you want me to pull in here?
Yeah, hit the fire hall. I'll be there in a second. That's like what, 27-mile road?
I passed 27, so between 27 and 28, I guess.
Okay, yep, I'll be there in a minute or two. I'm just passing the old, what is it, Scarefest and that old Lion Park or whatever up here.
Yeah, like I said, I know a few landmarks up here, but not enough to really say, oh, go to this or go to that. So I know this, and I'm sitting right there at the entrance. So this works. I mean, it's on your way. It doesn't really matter. And I'm ahead of schedule for where I got to be.
The destination is in my sights. Oh, you're across from Sunco Energy. Okay. I had it wrong. Wrong building. But, nope, I see you.
All righty. Two handoffs. Man, just a model of efficiency this morning.
Yes, it is.
Now, I know I've seen these township halls. Is that where we have a sheriff's substation?
NAWRO, yes, the substation is there, Sean.
All right, I know where that is. I just wasn't, when we were talking about, I'm thinking Lennox Fire, you know, in Richmond, Lennox EMS and all that stuff, and, you know, and I'm thinking, where's the township hall near there? You know, and, but yeah, now that I think of it, okay, that's where we have a substation. Tom?
KCK Joe. Yeah, the substation used to be the community center, so they built the big building. And then they abandoned it for a while because I had alarm systems in there and cameras and fire and the place was falling apart. Then they refurbed it, and now it's the substation.
That new building is kind of nice, I tell you that much.
Yeah, fire's down there between 27 and 28, and substation's quite a ways up. Let's see, where am I at now? I'm at, I'm already at 29, and it's still north of me here. So, oh, where's breakfast? Yeah, there it is, right there. Oh, yeah, Curdy.
Well, that building's, like 20 years old now, Tim? You know, it was built in, like, what, 2000, 2001, something like that?
Yeah, I always consider it the new building, but you're right, it's probably getting a little older. But, prior to that one, it was a rather small building. I think it's still there, but, both the township hall and the substation trip this way.
Where should I get breakfast, Tim?
Well, if you're up in Richmond, you should go to George's place, the Village Cafe on the corner, and get one of those skillets. They land on your table still sizzling in an iron skillet. Oh, can't beat it.
Yeah, they are delish. I've had a few, been there with Wally. And I don't know if I could eat all that. It's either that or maybe I'll run into Armada and go to the Tiger's Den.
Yeah, if you say the chicken salad sandwich good, next time I'm in there, I'm going to get one. You got me tempted now.
You know, we got that next dinner, or breakfast, I should say, over in New Haven again, coming up, what, next month, I think. It's the Sunday after Easter, I believe, right there at the Main Street Grill. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I'll have to keep my eye on that one, not let it sneak by me without noticing. But because I like that place. That place is pretty good. We had a hell of a crowd there. So, and I think next month we might have some visitors. So, yuppers, sounds good. All right, let's see here. Not Ted's. I like Ted's though. Ted's is all right. But I'm going to head north into town here, debate whether I'm going to do George's.
I don't know. I just had one of the fanboys come blazing by me here, and he's just north of me with his red and blues on and wondering what that's all about.
He's going after Sean, maybe. There's always Zeph's place, Ken's Kitchen, just beyond that. That's Tom's favorite spot there.
Oh, I love that one, too. It's a tough call, man. You ever been, you know, the one place I've never been to, I just passed it, that Papoose or whatever, Greek place, you know, where the Tractor Supply is. Has anybody ever been there, and what's that all about?
Papoose place. It's not bad. They got good breakfast.
Yeah, I second Papa's place. Tom and I, we were there last year, I think, one time. And they got good breakfast. I like their house special. When you're hungry, it's three eggs, all the meats, but you can do all bacon if you'd rather. And then you can do pancakes instead. You know, it's a little pricey, but, you know, everything is nowadays.
Hey, does Armada Center come through to Richmond?
You mean Armada Ridge? Because you'll be passing my house.
No, I know where Armada Ridge is. You got to go out 32 and catch it. You don't have to. You can go through the subdivision. But I always take 32 and then I figure what that little connector street is to get on it. I know you can run it right into the subdivision there. I'm just coming up to light at 32. I got to get to Armada, and the place I'm at the fire department, which is on right off of Center, Armada Center. But I usually take Ridge into town.
All right, so take 32 to North Avenue, and it'll take you right into downtown Armada. The Armada Center is right there. It's the first light. There's Ace Hardware, and there's Armada Grill and stuff like that. That's Armada Center. Armada Ridge is the one further north.
What Tom said, or you could make a left on 32 and then a right on Lowell Plank for about a block and then make a left on Armada Ridge and go in that way.
Yeah, that's my normal route. I normally, I take north if I'm coming from south or east or west of it. But if I'm coming from this way, I always take, I didn't know the name of it, Tom, or Tim, thanks for that. But I always take Lowell Plank and then hop on Armada Ridge. But I was just wondering what my question was is, does Armada Ridge come through? You know, because the place I'm going is actually on, Armada Center, because it's actually on Armada Center. I normally do the Lowell Plank to Armada Ridge and run that way if I don't take Ridge straight into town. But just as a question about Armada Center is all. That was my question.
Armada Center is north of Armada Ridge once you hit Armada. Correct, Tom?
That is correct. It's just, I don't know if it comes all the way through to, Richmond. That's my question.
And then Armada Center is north of that. And that takes you down. Oh, where does Armada Center go? I never go all the way down. I always turn on Durham and take it to the school section. Oh, wait. No, I stand corrected. Armada Ridge ends at North Avenue. That's right. That's the north end. Armada Ridge is the one that you want, Sean. At Lowell Plank to Armada Ridge, and I'll take you right into town.
Lowell Plank to Armada Ridge is my normal route when I'm going Richmond to Armada. That's how I normally do it, unless I'm coming from the west, and then I take north. But no, I just was wondering, because the place I'm going to is actually off Armada Center, which is north of Armada Ridge, and all I wanted to know was, does Armada Center come all the way through to Richmond or M-19? That's all I was wondering. No big deal. Google Maps can answer that.
Looking at the map now, no, Armada Center Road, that ends at north. It doesn't go east of north.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that because, see, it becomes the road that I have to be on, which I think has a different name, but I always just assumed it was because it was a, just right there in town, and then it would turn back into center some distance beyond to the east, but you're saying it's all over. Okay. I was not aware of that.
It turns into school section east of there, but it doesn't continue. They're not the same.
Well, there you go. Anyhow, on the pleasant Armada Ridge Drive here. So, my guy said they'd be at the site at 8. I'll probably be there about the same time. Get them started, and maybe I'll go grab a coffee.
There you go. Yeah, Tim. Armada Ridge, off of 32, is just west of North Avenue is Wolcott. You take Wolcott, and then it curves through the subdivision into Armada Ridge, and then goes through Armada as Armada Ridge, and then it ends up down your street as Ridge Road. Armada Center comes off of Brown Road over there by the dairy, and right there at Blake's. And if you keep taking that east, Armada Center, past, the stoplight at Cape Peck, it ends technically at North Avenue on the north side of town. And if you go a little bit more east, then you run into the schools and the back entrance to Armada Fair.
Yeah, that all makes sense now, seeing as I'm on a map and following it along as you're talking. And then that begs the question we had on the net a while back is, what is the highest number of mile road? I forgot what we said. What did we say Boardman was? when it gets back to you, Tom.
Is Boardman like 38 or something like that, Tom?
KJ, I believe so. I believe Boardman is 38-mile road. Yes, because the barn in Bruce Township that we are at was at 36, and then a couple more up was Boardman Road, and that was 38. Yes.
Yeah, I think that was the trivia question one net about several nets ago is like, how high does it go? But then they start changing names. And then we got into Oakland County. Forget about Oakland County. They're all different. So.
Were you on the conversation, Tim, where we were talking about, I think you were, where we were talking about the alternate names for mile roads? And, you know, why aren't there alternate names for, like, you know, 12, 13, 14, but, you know, you got, you know, Metro Parkway, Quarton, you know, you got, you know, Long Lake, Square Lake, you know, and all these alternate names. And, you know, and then I come to find out, I looked it up online, there's quite a bit of information about that. And most roads have an alternate name, even the ones down by me that nobody even ever calls them by their alternate name. And but they did at one time have an alternate name that just is no longer used. But that one talked about how far up the mile roads go, I think. I seem to remember, was there a 40 somewhere? Is there a 40-mile road?
I don't think so. What say you, Tom? I think Boardman is the last.
KJO. Yeah, I think you're right, Tim. I think Boardman is the last mile road. And, you know, and the same thing, too, with, you know, like the main streets, like M-19. In one area, it's Memphis Ridge. And then in the other, you know, it's M-19 all the way up in the Bad Axe. But through Memphis, it's Main Street. And then it's Memphis Ridge on the other side of town. Same thing with North Avenue. It's called Fulton, I think, going north. And then east and west, Armada Ridge is Main Street. I don't know, it's goofy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the town loves the big one running through gets called Main all the time. It's usually something else to the rest of the world. But anywho, I am just pulling into town here, and it's grabbing at me for going faster than the speed limit. Oops, and I'm getting called on the other radio. W8FU.
N8WRO. Where are you headed to today, Tom? I didn't catch it.
I am headed to Livonia. Livonia, Southfield, and, oh, I forgot where else I got to go. It's basically, you know, Metro Detroit area, west side. We're going to be hanging out today.
Well, all right. That beats an overnight stay way up north or anything like that. So basically what you call local. Hey, we might be doing some testing at 2 o'clock on Saturday for the hospitals. I'm not sure if you're interested.
Yeah, let me see what my schedule is. I don't know what she's got me doing this Saturday. So, yeah, keep me abreast of the situation. Well, I guess we'll talk to it in the in-house tomorrow. And I got my meeting starting. I forgot. Today's Wednesday. All right, I got to drop out. I got to get into this Teams meeting. I'll talk to you soon. 73-KCKJL.
Have a good one. N-8-W-R-O.
All righty. Turning on to whatever Armada Center is west of, or east of north. At my destination. Catch everybody in a bit. And are my guys here? Are they here? Yeah, they're here. Look at them go. Look at them go. All right. We'll be back in a bit. WNFU.
Copy that. NHWRO clear, but we'll be listening.
Connected to CMN Network.
Good morning, WHB.
Morning, Wally, NHWRO. I'm not sure we allow Florida people in here.
Oh, yeah, you do. We got lots of them. So, finally done with all my meetings and all my gala events and everything else, and now we're going to decide what we're going to do. Maybe go see Mickey Mouse today.
Hey, what's the other one? We skipped Disney World there, and we went to, is it Epcot Center? That was a good one as well in Orlando there.
Yeah, Marion went to Epcot last night, and let's see, what else? I think there was another one. Universal Studios, I thought, as well. I thought that was there as well.
Yeah, that's another good one. You're in a good spot there, and a lot of good restaurants, of course. I'm sure you're probably taking advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. I went backwards in the weight loss department. Kind of racked everything that I was going for. Yeah, Steve is going golfing today. $350 a round plus club rental.
Yeah, prices are high over there as well. Hey, what's the gas, what's the gas down there? Maybe you're not noticing.
I haven't seen a gas station yet, but I can look in Gas Buddy in the next go-around.
Just curious, but it doesn't really matter. We got to pay it anyways. Just wondering if it's worse than us. To be honest with you, I just filled up a Kroger, and I don't even remember what I paid, so I have no comparable.
It looks like the average is about $4 and a penny a gallon, $3.99 to $4.05.
All right. Well, I think that's about the same. I always use the shopper's card, so I get quite a bit off because groceries are expensive, too. All righty. Well, I guess we're probably not going to do anything for the drill today. Apparently, that's just not a good idea to sound the sirens. I kind of agree with that, I guess.
Yeah, and some of the boring parts of the meetings, you know, I could read them, but it was kind of rude to text. You know, everybody looks at you if you're texting away. But I read most of the stuff what was going through or as it was popping up on the, you know, the notification screens. I kind of figured that's where it was heading. I also saw that they canceled the show, the air show, too.
Yeah, that's what Paul was saying. That's a biggie on that one. Due to readiness issues, I suppose we shouldn't get into it on the air, but it's public knowledge. They announced it, so that's too bad. Always enjoyed watching that one. Usually watched it from the roof of my old workplace years ago. That was great.
Yeah, I used to live down there by Sugarbush Tavern. Same thing. I just walked into the road and watch it. It was like at the end of the runway. But now, since then, they blocked it off to cars. But if you lived there, they'd let you walk there. That was always a good spot because the planes were low enough that some of the pilots would wave at you.
You always got to remember bringing hearing protection, especially for the little ones. You know, you can't have the little ones out there with those planes.
Yeah, I agree. So, other than that, not too much. So, just chilling, fly back Friday. So, other than that, yeah, I heard you and Sean and Tom talking, but she was on the phone, so and the room is kind of small. You know, it's just a one-room hotel type thing.
Copy that. I got, believe it or not, two HTs here donating to Sarah and Christina. I deactivated TX on them and put just a minimal code plug in there. I guess. Works for me. They don't have a way to monitor 7.2 and FBI, so I guess now they do. I left the weather channels in there as well.
Are these DMR or are these just analog? As I was going to say, put Central Michigan in there as well for monitoring.
No, these are, for now, these are just two cheap Ofangs with TX disabled and just analog. So just, you know, they're going to monitor our Skywarn channel 7.2, and then they can monitor the UMP for MyCon. And that's really about it. I mean, I threw the Simplex channel in there. Now, I think Mike might want to do something more than that, and if he does, that's fine. But to be honest with you, I don't think they're going to use them for anything but that.
No, I think so, too. I think that's going to take some guidance and training and awareness and things of that nature. Plus, if they get into it, they're just both things, so they can, you know, it's not like they're locked.
Yeah, after working with the code plugs, Cliff and I still got to get you some of that, the string that we're talking about, the thread, because there's still something going on between his radio and mine. But we know mine works because you and I can do 441 Simplex. But anyways, dealing with the code plugs on the analogs, it's so simple. It's very easy compared to little nuances of DMR.
Yeah, did you find out what Cliff was using for a radio?
He does have an Elenco. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna copy this thread and send it to you just so you can see it. He did screenshots and everything, and I did screenshots of my Kinect systems. And there's something, well, and then we also just need to get closer, too, because it could just be a range thing. And which we will do that on tomorrow night at the meeting. You know, we'll be close enough. And you know, if it works then, and it's just a distance thing, that's all. But if not, because right now the symptom is he can hear me, but I cannot hear him. But I'm going to get you this thread. But the information in here, you take a look at it, I bet you could diagnose it.
Okay, yeah, and then, too, the other thing, like you said, when you get it close, when you guys get closer, it's a lot easier, too. It might be a range thing. The other thing, too, is it could be going into one of his, could be going into Tier 2 and telling you, you know, listen on different time slot or something of that nature. Of course, if that was the case, you would see the bar raise up. You know, your RSSI bar, do you see that raise up at all when he's trying to get back to you?
I'm not sure. I'm looking at my display now. I don't think I have that on this display. So I'd have to check. Maybe there's a setting I can do to have that appear.
Yeah, there should be. I'll bet you there's a checkbox. The other thing would be listen to the analog side of it. See if you hear digital noise.
Well, then the thing was, Dean was listening to us when we were doing this. He could hear me, but he also couldn't hear Cliff. So that's another data point there. So, yeah, we'll figure it out. We're in the parking lot side by side together. We'll figure it out for sure.
Yeah, WAPD. Yeah, I'll take a look at it. I was looking at this thing with the airports. This doesn't look very promising.
NAWRO. Yeah, that's right. You guys got a Got to be careful there in case your flight gets canceled. We don't want that. Don't want to jinx you.
Oh, I don't think the flight will get canceled. I think it'll just be a long line, long, long line. But we've got TSA in clear, so apparently they were going to try to shut that down, and they got yelled at for that because that's a private pay thing.
Yeah, especially in current times, that could come in handy now.
Yeah, well, you know, because we live so close to the water, and we're always on the water. I mean, we got everything. We got Nexus cards. We got Global Entry. We got, you know, TSA. We got Clear, you know what I'm saying? And for all the things, you know, for work over the years, you know, it's getting less and less. But for work, we've done so much traveling, and it just, you know, it's to the point where you almost have to have all of that stuff or you can kiss 2 hours goodbye every time. And now a lot of times you just go in there and put your eyeball in a scanner and you're in. And now Delta, they've even got something where all I got to do is stand in front of a camera and smile. And then they say, go ahead.
Facial recognition, wow. Yeah, I like that Nexus pass going to Canada. The only issue is you guys probably have both, of course, but I got to make sure everybody in the car has it too. You can't get in a lane unless everybody has Nexus. But look, mine's going to be expiring. I'm going to have to renew it soon. It's convenient. I like it.
For the pennies it costs, and if you already got it, do not let it expire. I mean, even if you don't use it that much, you know, but if you ever wanted to go over there or hopped on somebody's boat that accidentally jumped into their waters, oh, yeah, I would get it.
And not only for the main purpose, but it also does give you TSA pre-boarding as well. That was the real reason I got it, is TSA pre-boarding. And then, you know, just it's function getting across the bridge to Canada up in Port Huron to Sarnia there is just kind of a perk.
Did you have to go for the interview, or did they waive that? I had to go through the interview. Marion had to go through the interview.
When this is when it was first came out, you know, it was like before the pandemic, and yes, I had to go through an interview. And then several years later, I took Sue up there, and she did not have to go through an interview. She just went through the, I think they fingerprinted you, right?
Yeah, they did. I think it was the Canadian side that had to fingerprint us, if I remember correctly. WAPD. I gotta tell you a funny story. When Marion went through the interview, You'll never guess what they talked about.
Shoes.
Fingernails. The lady said to Marion, where do you get your fingernails done at? Marion ripped it off. The agent knew exactly where the place was, and then they talked about getting their fingernails painted, and that was it. You know, and she accomplished what she wanted. She wanted to make sure you were who you said you were, and you were a local type person. So, you know, that'd be kind of information you wouldn't be able to carry on that conversation, you know, about, you know, oh, I get it done at this place in Shelby Township, blah, 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 blah. But it was a 10-minute interview, but they talked about getting their fingernails painted.
Yeah, I think I remember the same thing, not the same topic, of course, but a different, it's just kind of a chat. We're just having a chat. But you're right, they work in and weave in local stuff to see, you know, if you, just to further confirm, you are who you say you are.
Yeah, and that'd be the kind of data that you wouldn't be able to, you know, if you were trying to be a fraud, that'd be the kind of data that you wouldn't be able to, you know, step around. Especially if the agent was local.
that's it is a little odd with that program because you have a few of their agents on our side. You, I assume, have a couple of our agents on their side to handle the application process because it's a joint project, right? So that's kind of odd, but obviously needed.
Yes, sir. All right, I'm going to let you go. See, it's almost out of the shower. I got to get ready. We got one last breakfast shindig, and then we're free and clear. Of course, I can't complain. They're paying for everything, so I as well, because if not, breakfast would cost $100 freaking. So I'm going to let them pick up that tab.
Very good, Wally. Well, you enjoy the sun and enjoy the weather while you're down there, and safe flight back. NAWRO, I'll be clear, listening out.
You take care. Have a good one. Sean, don't work too hard today. I saw you post something. W, maybe.
NAWRO from WBAPHN.
BHN, this is NAWRO. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning. This is Evan. Yeah, I just read the mail on the next conversation about IDs and facial recognition. I just renewed my passport, and I got the card as well. Yeah, I'm just visiting family here in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. So my PPH at home is in Illinois. So just visiting and moving to the future. So anybody else?
Hey, copy most of that. The signal's getting a little rough. It looks like you're coming into the Detroit repeater. But, yeah, I also got the passport and the passport card and the Nexus card and all that. I don't know, there's a movie a couple of years ago, way back, I guess, called Fletch, where he has so many IDs, it's ridiculous. I'm kind of like that. Get them all, I guess, you know. I'll cut you loose because the signal is a little bad, but I'll listen out for your final. NAWRO, back over to you.
Yeah, okay, I'm portable powered, and even though I've got a vertical Yagi here inside the house, so I bumped up the power to the highest. It wasn't on the highest power level, so yeah, okay, I'll catch you guys again. You guys suggested this repeater here because I can't hit the FBI Project 25 repeater. I'm interested in P25 digital, so I can hit this one from the house here. So, okay, have fun whatever your day involves, and I'll catch you guys again. I didn't catch the name so that time around, NAWROWBAPHN.
And, of course, your last one was really good copy, so I don't understand what was going on before. Name here is Tim, Tango India Mike, up in Richmond, North Macomb. You have a good one. Appreciate the QSO. NAWRO, clear.
73, Tim. WBAPHN listening.
All righty, where's coffee?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Timmy Hortons is back over here in Richmond, if you're heading that way.
Oh, no, I'm going to be here for a while. The guys just, they were here when I pulled up, so I got them going, I called them in, all that good stuff, and I just, once they were cooking. Just down here in downtown. I'm going to probably just go into the Tiger's Den like I planned on. Get something from there. Get a nice cappuccino or something.
Well, you have a bag of nuts and sour balls to hold you over.
That's true. I haven't looked in on my bag of nuts.
Oh, boy.
Do you want to see my bag of nuts?
Oh, heavens, no.
It's large.
Okay. No. Risk of putting my foot in my mouth. Did you get it from Cujo?
Yep. Cujo was entrusted with my bag of nuts. He successfully and gingerly handed them over to me. And now I am back in possession. Anyhow, I'm going to go get me a coffee before this conversation gets any worse. Tim?
I can't stop laughing enough to make one, so I will clear. You guys have fun. N-A-W-R-O.
Thank goodness for Lane assist, because I was laughing my fear ear off. KJO.
Hey, where'd our guest go that's in Dearborn Heights? You still listening to us?
I guess not. You're still down in Florida, Wally?
His name is Zvim. S-V-V-I-M, I believe. We've talked to him before. If he's out there, go ahead.
Well, if he comes back and if he wants to talk on P25, and you guys have all got this, everybody but me today, KC8 LTS repeater would fit him just fine. If he's got VHF, P25, he'll be able to get it. So if he comes back and you guys all wanted to chat on P25 and exercise that a little bit, he does, he'll probably hit that one really, really good. But I don't know what he has. Maybe he's got an APX 8000 or something with him. That would work real good. And, yes, I still am in Florida. And, yes, this is W8VD-4 or whatever it is down here. Just kidding. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, he's at N-A-W-R-O.
Hey, KKJL. Oh, so the weather must be wonderful down there. I skated out of Petoskey last week, but it's getting my teeth before all that snow hit. But I got my new DTMF microphone, and I love it.
Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world with that radio. And now if you want to go to a channel, all you got to do is touch the button. So if you want to go from channel 2 to channel 5, just touch it, and poof, you're on channel 5. And I always try to make channel 5 in my radio code plug Central Michigan 5-1. So if it's not there, move it there. So just so any radio that I program, I always make 5-5-1.
Yeah, I just need to get the code plug and said I got to upgrade my CPS to 2.14 or something like that. So I got to look into that as well.
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, no. What's the one that you told me to go up to, but not? Okay, so it's 14, not go up to. I'm not sure what version I have. I have to look it out, you know, look it up. Will the version that I have work with the 5550, with the archive?
Yeah, it'll be fine. If you get the newest one, it'll just be faster. But you still can read it, and you still can retrieve it and save it and archive it and everything else. The firmware, don't mess with the firmware. Don't go over 209 on the firmware.
Oh, I wasn't planning on messing with the firmware. So if all I have to do is just plug it in and upload it to the current CPS software that I have. That's all that matters to me. I figure out how I can do the no home, not home channel, so I read up on that. I can either turn it off or set something in there.
Yeah, that's under the general settings, one of the first pages. So, yeah, that's pretty easy to do. So, but, yeah, just you can do that. But, yeah, that microphone is just over the top. Is that what you're on now?
No, I'm on my Yankee right now because I got my coworker on CMRS on the Motorola. And I just got a phone call. Diesel. All right, I'll be back. KCXKJ.
W8BD stepping out. Yeah, Tim, if you hear him again, tell me the KC. You can check it in repeater book. It's actually pretty accurate there. KC8 BS in Detroit, VHF, that will get him to all of the P25s around here.
Yeah, copy that. Will do. We did speak with him before. He's originally out of Illinois, but he's in the area. He must be in the area, extended stay in the area. I don't know if it's business or whatnot, but, yeah, at first when he got in Detroit here for FBI, TJ's, it just was terrible. Signal, I couldn't hear it. And, of course, naturally, his second one is fine. You know, you never know how that goes.
Yeah, I heard him say he kicked his power up, though, and that made all the difference in the world. Because, you know, I'm listening to it right at the antenna, so the way I'm coming in. And his second one was fine, so, but he did say he kicked up his power.
Oh, good. That means it wasn't me, because I was sitting here flipping the knobs and antennas and thinking, what the heck? But it was actually his side, okay. All right, sounds good. I'm going to get back to it while you have a good one. N-A-W-R-O.
W-A-D.
Still in here, Walter?
Roger, Wilco. W-A-D-D.
How's the weather?
Much better. They got rained out in their golf tournament by a lot. Tuesday was kind of cold, and now it's gradually warming up. And today, sunny and not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, it's a fine warming up. What's the temperature?
Right now, probably 70. Today, it's supposed to get to 75 or so, 76.
Well, we haven't broke 20 yet this morning.
I heard it took a turn for the not so good after we had left. We had left, it was pretty windy. Had a few struggles taken off, but it wasn't bad. He gunned it and got that puppy to above the clouds as quick as he could. Once he got it above the clouds, it was smooth. We had no problems. So, it's supposed to be a pretty good day, pretty good for the rest of the week. We're here till Friday. We don't fly out Friday till like 4 o'clock, so about a 3-hour flight, so we should be back by 7.
Roger. All right, I just pulled back on the site here. I'm going to get inside and get set up with my computer and everything else and my coffee. I'll get back on from in there. WAVD, W8FU.
You take care. Hopefully it's warm in there. WAVD.
W8FSM Mobile Grambling.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Vonia.
Oh. Well, I woke up at 5 because I was going to leave at 5:30, and I fell back asleep, and now it's, 9 o'clock, and I'm just now getting on the road?
Lordy, I haven't had one of those. days in a long time. I'm usually up about 6:30. But now I have to go to bed right after emergency at 10:30.
No, I got up with Michelle. Michelle had to go in early, too, so got up with her, and I sat back down, and that's the last thing I remember in the chair. And then I woke up at 8:30. I was like, 8:15. I'm like, holy crap. So I showered and collected all the stuff I got to deliver, and now I'm, yeah. I should have been in Battle Creek by now, but the only thing that hurts is myself, is because it's not like I had appointments to meet people at certain times. It's just I wanted to be in and back by 5, and I don't know if I'll be back by 5 today now.
Oh, sounds like you got a territory like me. I usually just handle the Detroit metro area, which is quote-unquote local for me, Ann Arbor, Detroit, Lenox, things like that. You know, Brighton on occasion. But, I did Grand Rapids and Lansing yesterday.
Lapeer, Oxford, Ortonville, Davisburg yesterday. Today I'm starting in Battle Creek. Well, Grand Line, but Battle Creek. Yeah, Battle Creek, Hastings, Lowell, Greenville, Fairplains, and then Chesaning. If it's after 5, I can't do Chesaning. But I don't think I'll hit Chesaning. Is a bonus if I get it. Then tomorrow I can do Chesaning and Fenton.
Well, at least being an hour west of me, you know, my home PTH, that shaves an hour off going to Battle Creek for you.
Well, it's an hour and 55 minutes, I suppose, right now on Waze.
Oh, I feel your pain. I got, in just in 2 weeks, I put almost 3,000 miles on this thing. I'm already over 27,000 miles on this service van, and I got it, October last year?
Yeah, that's how my dad was. Even though, you know, Central's there at 13 gross bets, he was one of the service techs that was dispatched out of the house, so he could go, you know, anywhere from... So, you know, basically, you like to say he stayed out of Southeast Michigan most of the time. He was everything else.
And now you're following in his footsteps. Different job, but same travel itinerary all over.
Or WSO. Well, he was in, from Holly. So when we lived, you know, because he lives in Holly. So there they live in Holly. So instead of having to drive an hour all the way down to the office and then turn around and get, you know, they just would fax up his work orders and such. Yeah. And honestly, it wasn't, well, when we started wireless in 03, you know, driving to towers, it could take me 45 minutes to an hour to go from one tower on the side of the network to the other, but now that I'm part of the newspaper side, you know, the printing media side, where we got offices all over now. 90% of the time of the week, I'm in, you know, my house and working out of the office, but it seems like projects creep up and I still have to run. Like today I'm basically a glorified postman today. I've got all the new punch tablets for the time clock systems that we're switching everything to, so I'm going around and putting those in and dropping other things off. It has to be done every other week, it seems, but after the new time clock system goes in, we won't have to worry about doing this other stuff every other week. It'll all be automated.
Oh, sounds like so much fun. Yeah, I gotta do a return trip up to Petoskey, but we're not doing it anytime soon. and the site says, you know, we're okay for right now. That's a good, we're waiting for warmer weather because one camera is, we need a lift for, and probably for the other two as well. All I gotta do is go up there and press and hold the button for 10 seconds, reset it, reprogram it, and be on our way. Sometimes the travel time takes longer than the actual service call.
And for that travel time, yeah, it's 3.5 hours. Well, maybe a little more for you from down there, but it's usually just over 3.5 hours, I think, for me to get to there and back. But, yeah, they definitely got a little snow up there. My aunt, who lives, my one aunt lives next to the high school there in Petoskey. They had these huge machines moved, clearing snow out of the roads and through the school area and all that.
KKKGO. Yeah, my coworker has got a, I guess you want to say a cabin or hunting cabin, hunting cottage. It's a single wide. And we were watching as the snow was falling. He's got me 4 feet. You know, it's all the way up to the soffits of his shed. And then the power went out. So he doesn't know how bad it is up there yet. He's hoping that he still has a trailer when he goes up there.
Kind of be with a flattish roof like that, I'd be worried about, you know, be worried about the roof, that's for darn sure. The, my aunt has a manufactured mobile-ish home, you know, so the roof's pretty, it's got a pretty flat pitched roof on the roof, and my cousin went up, had to shovel up, you know, cleared it off for her.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a mobile home, it's trailer kind of thing. It's been around, I mean, for 40-some-odd years, and that's what he's worried about is how much, you know, because he can't get to it because, you know, it's a half mile up to the cabin off the main stretch. So he's hoping it's still good. He'll find out when the power comes back on and the NVR starts back up. But there's no way to get up there right now. I mean, you have to walk through 4 feet of stone because there's nobody up there to shovel it or plow it or somehow get rid of it. So it's just open a prayer right now.
And Monday, it was a Monday, Monday morning, my little brother was trying to go to work in Ann Arbor. And the snow was up over his doors of his truck. So he's like, spent, I don't know, a half hour shoveling and past the truck and then cleaning around the truck, and he was like, nope, not going anywhere today.
Yeah, we were there Thursday night over Friday morning. You know, it was fine Thursday. It was pretty decent weather, windy, a little chilly. And we woke up Friday morning to go back to the job, and it's like, it's snowing. It was kind of a small, I mean, we're only like a mile and a half from the site. So a little bit of treacherous to tracking it. And then it was melted by the time we left. And then driving the streets over to get over to the freeway, over to 75, it was a little bit treacherous. There was some really good slick spots there, pushed us a little bit sideways. Then the wind started picking up on our drive south and get over that Zilwaukee Bridge, and that thing was pushing us over to another lane.
No bridge for you. What do you guys do? Take 131 down into 32 and across together to Grayling or whatever, or do you go up through Indian River?
131, I think it's like M76 or something like that. I forgot what they call it, something Creek Road. It's really twisty-turny and up and down. And then that gets us, we usually come in north of Grayling. And then finally when we got to the freeway, it was kind of cleared up. It was just that one, Swan Lake, I think is what it's called, something like that. It was some goofy name.
as you got out of the van, and then you get out of Vanderbilt or off of Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Yeah, I know where you're at, or which way you're taking.
Yeah, those roads are pretty, when you take that path there, it's, you go down by those hills, up and down around those hills by the lake there, yeah.
Yeah, he was in an all-wheel drive Maverick, and I was in an all-wheel drive Transit 150, and we both had it on icy, you know, icy slippery roads or whatever they call it, and still that wind and stuff was pushing us over. All I can say is thank goodness for lane assist, because that kind of helped keep us, you know, straight and narrow.
I know we weren't going to see much, I mean, it's really overcast up here. But I didn't look over there, or over on the west side. I knew they were getting lake effect yesterday, but I didn't know if it was going to continue today as well. So that would be my only, not worry, but yeah, thing I was like, I probably should have looked at that before I left, but oh well. Not going to change the fact I got to go and do it.
Oh, yeah, the lake effect snow, yeah, there was white out at times when we're driving. I mean, you're doing 70, next you know, the snow is so thick going through and blowing that you slow down to, like, 30, 40. Oh, it was ridiculous. But we went through a couple of snow bands, and it was free and clear the rest of the way. And I have arrived at my destination. So I will catch you later, as Sean says. Anywho, I'll catch you in a bit. Drive safe.
Take care, W8FSM. 69 West Valley.
WD8KLO. W-A-F-U.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KF8S3H, Hudson.
Connected to CMN Network.
KDHKJO monitoring as I'm driving.
Alrighty. Well, I am driving while I'm talking. Anyhow, I had a couple of sours and looked in on my Supreme mix. But that breakfast sandwich I had still got me full, so saving it for later.
Well, there you go. I just broke into my Mardi Gras mix. Yeah, I walked out of there yesterday with your package. A half a pound of cashews, a half a pound of pistachios, half a pound of the cherry berry mix, and then the Mardi Gras mix. So I left like four packages. I forgot to pick up salted in the shell peanuts, though. I need another 2 pound bag.
I found these ones at Randazzo's. Forget the name of them now, but they're like packaged. You know, they're not just they have the raw peanuts, not raw, but they have the buy them by the pound peanuts as well. But they had these packaged ones, and it was some sort of a you know, I didn't think I would like it. I think it was a Cajun, peanuts or something like that in the shell. They were really good. Stop and get me some more of those. But anyhow, it's they're good for when you need to keep the carbs down. But you want something that has a little bit. They got a lot of fat, though, you know. It's better fat. It's not the kind of fat that's really bad, but still fat.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to keep my weight down. That's my cholesterol I brought down, so I'm a happy camper. Yeah, I love peanuts. I don't like those planters from those. I roasted peanuts, but I do not like those ones. But I do like the ones over there at the peanut shop. And, of course, the Tiger peanuts, I mean, those are the bomb.
You know, I don't disagree. I got a can of planters at home, and I'll crack it open, and I'll eat a few. And I don't know. They just, there's something about them. They just don't do anything for me. But, you know, in general, I'm not a big fan of peanuts, but some are better than others. I'm not a big fan of the planters myself. So they got other things. I thought about getting some of them jumbo cashews, too, but by the time I got a pound of that Supreme mix or whatever they call it, and, you know, in the sours, they said, yeah, that's enough for today.
Well, the regular-sized cashews aren't bad. I mean, you roast them right there. And they're probably a little bit less priced. I mean, it's still like $10 for a half pound, but it's well worth it. I remember those big, huge cashews that you get in a big, huge glass jar. I can't think of the name of them, but those are really good, too.
Not thinking of it, but, yeah, I mean, you know, a pound of cashews is a pound of cashews. The big ones are kind of cool, but there's no significant difference. Might as well just go for the regular ones if they're less. I don't know, are they? I think you said they were. Anyhow. So on my way back, done babysitting out in the north end. Now I'm back to the shop. It's like I had that breakfast sandwich, so I don't feel like lunch. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll just get myself something to drink and head back, and I'll keep myself satisfied with some peanuts if the time comes.
Well, there you go. All right, I'll be right back with you. Take a good kid, Joe.
WAW.
This is KFA-FJH. Are you guys still monitoring?
I am FJH. This is W8FU. Name here is Sean.
Oh, okay. Nice to meet you, Sean. The name here is Ben, and my car is KFA-FJH.
Okay, Ben, KF8, so kind of new. FJ, is that, how new is that?
I got my license on December 17th, so right before the year end, right before 2025 ended, just around there.
Oh, you're almost an old salt. I thought it was newer than that, so I wonder where they're at. I wonder what's the latest one I've heard out here. Now we got FQ, we've got FL. I wonder where they are. Have they gotten to G yet, I wonder?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Well, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I just got back from my lunch break. I'm inside my high school and just got back to class. Bell's going to ring here in about a minute, so I'm going to say 73 for now, and I'll probably talk again later. This is KF8FJH. The name here is Ben again.
All right, good to hear you young guys getting into this. It's a lot of fun to be had. And you just got to figure out what you like. All right. Knock it out of the park in school there. KF8FJ. I'm not going to get it right, but I only got to get mine right. W8FU.
All right, cool. This is KSAFJH. I will now be clear.
W8 receive incremental tuning. W8 fancy underpants.
I like that now. Hadn't thought of it. Anyways, I've got a minute or two. I just wanted to chime in with a bump here too. And I kind of like paying attention too to the new call signs here too to see how quickly they come up. I have my old call sign when I first got licensed was KCARVS. So I've been trying to see if I can pay attention to what I can hear, like the KD8RVS, KDA-RVS. So I'm going to see when we're going to be up to KF8RVS. But the other thing I was going to comment, Sean, is that I sure am liking it, that it seems that there are probably more hams that are just currently getting licensed now than at the time when I got licensed, who are... everybody's fairly young in comparison to me, but relatively young. So I'm kind of enjoying seeing that swing there, that there's even younger people getting involved here with ham radio. So that's something very nice to see here. Yeah, I'm out here at Auburn Hills, just about ready to go back to the building here I'm working at, dive in and grab my lunch. So I'm going to be putting some feedback on in just a moment here.
Yeah, there you go. I was KEA, no, KB8, yeah, KB8FNR, Fox November Romeo. So that one must be just about coming up. That one would already be out there somewhere, KF8FNR. So I was KB8FNR. So, yeah, I think there's, I think the technology is kind of like getting in the ham radio, the kind of stuff that interests the younger folks now. You know, there was the avenues to get in were electronic, you know, builders and shortwave listeners and things like that were the kind of way that guys got into it. And I think now we're looking more at the digital aspect, the computer to radio interface, things like that with all the nodes and, you know, I think that's all starting to appeal to a younger crowd, so good deal. But I know you said you're coming up on lunch. I won't keep you any longer than that, which has already been too long.
Yep, very good, Sean. I'm going to dive out. But, yes, I do agree with that. That I think, yes, the advent of how our technology here in the hobby has been changing and being introduced more to, you know, the internet, and I do think that, yeah, that is a strong proponent for getting younger people in, so I'm very much in favor of that. I'm not such an old curmudgeon that I'm like, oh, see, got the old ways, you know, nothing like that. Lots of avenues to have fun with here on the hobby. Anyways, let's get back to it, Sean. Just wanted to chime in with that little tidbit of mine. With that, you can bank on it and maybe retire in another 40 years. Anyways, you have a good afternoon, Sean. W8IT.
Yes, sir. It's all good. All right. Not far from my shop either. Just got to stop and get myself a pop and I think head in. Have fun. W8RIT from W8FU.
W-A-F-U, K-F-A-F-S-Q, just throwing it out there. Looks like K-F-A-G-C-B was issued yesterday, so to answer your question, we are into the G's. Listening out.
Roger, cruising right along.
W-A-F-U, WAWKCF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Sean, you out there? KPR. In your neighborhood.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KE8BSI Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WAWKPR.
Yes.
I'm waving as I go by. I just had lunch at that Jimmy D's.
Oh, I could have gave you a Dakota Suplexer. You need to be tuned.
Well, sorry, your audio is really low. Try again. I just cranked the volume up.
Yes, at all. I could have gave you a Dakota's duplexer. He needs it retuned.
Does he? Well, that wouldn't work anyways. We're leaving tomorrow morning for 10 days.
Yeah, right. I got it right here. And the frequency, go figure, of the three frequencies we could have picked, that one is crashed by all over up by his house. So it's got to be one of the other two. So I gave him a repeater that I have done up on one of the other pairs, and he's running that right now. So it may all be everything may be on hold. And then he just ordered a repeater. Like the one I borrowed him. So
everything might just be on hold until that comes in, and then we can go through that. But anywho, I got it sitting right here. I wonder if he needs to get this one returned.
All right, so, I mean, I could pick it up and just wouldn't be able to do anything with it until I got back, if you want me to. Like I said, I'm right here.
No, I think there's a different, plan. I'll talk to him today and find out what's going on. But if he can get it returned, he might even want to do that.
All right. Sounds good. So they were slammed at Jimmy's today and took forever. They called for a reservation this morning, and we got there. They said nobody knew anything about it, so we had to sit around. They were going to wait for tables, and they had like 14 people, so it took a while. But it was worth the wait. Their corned beef is good.
Well, yeah, it is. And believe it or not, there's a little dive right around the corner from there on Elizabeth. And he does a St. Patrick's deal every year, which is really good. Matter of fact, I'm going to call him and find out if he's got any of it.
Yeah, I guess it's St. Patty's week. People are still celebrating. They're still selling green beer.
We don't mess around. You know, it's funny, too, because if you go to Ireland, it's a holy day. You know, people are in church, and it's nothing like it is here. It's not even close. All right, I got to get to work. I got about 25 minutes to go here. I got things I got to get accomplished.
All right. Yeah, it's a lot like my birthday, Cinco de Mayo. It's like, you know, not at all what people are celebrating. Some may have no idea what it is. Anyways, all right. Sounds good. We're in early tomorrow, so aloha.
Yep. Well, if I don't talk to you, travel safe and enjoy. Should be a good trip. And I don't know if you're going to check in from time to time, but we'll listen for you. Otherwise, we'll see you or talk to you when you guys get back. Have fun.
Yeah, maybe. On the app, yeah, maybe. I'm not taking any radio or anything. All right. Catch you later. KPR.
WNFU.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, that depends on what am I sure of.
Hey, you are who you say you are.
Well, I checked, and I'm wearing his underwear.
Wearing another man's underwear, it's a little weird.
I know, right? So I'm thinking I am who I say I am.
You see our chats in Discord this afternoon?
Was following some of it, but I'm not sure. If you refresh my memory, I'll probably say, oh, yeah.
I guess on the Hoyt Bridge, there's a... just keep saying that it's already in that mode. Which, I think... sounds like it's every 10 minutes.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the out-of-band stuff, which propagates over the network. It's probably... Dakota's got a cron that checks that he's connected, restarts, and so every time it does that, if it's connected, it says, you know, already in this mode. Now, you're only going to hear that if you're connected up via Hoyt or, you know, like that. That could be turned on and off on the hubs. I could turn that off so you don't hear that. I like to, generally when I'm hooked up via telephone, to the hub, I like to hear the connection that disconnects, but I turn it off on my individual node so I don't broadcast it. So that you're hearing that when you're on a non-radio connection, like to the hub. You could probably turn that off for like HQ, leave it on for 43472. So I had to think about that. And my phone's ringing. I got to grab it. WFQ.
That's what I was suspecting it was, but I think there might be a better way to do his cron job, but we'll have to be a little bit smarter. Immediately.
Holy cow, man. I got cellular carriers just hounding me every day. I've got... drive me up the wall.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
Hey, Anthony, what's shaking?
Not much. Are these cellular folks bothering you for business or personal cell service?
Oh, no, they want to put, you know, equipment on my towers and co-locate. So there's a, and I've had a couple of real, you know, ones that have been, the last several I've done, actually every one I've done has been extremely bothersome. And if it wasn't for the money, I'd say, you know what, it ain't worth the aggravation.
Yeah, does that offset quite a bit of cost? Is it lucrative to allow them on your site?
Well, I don't know, you know, I don't want to get into too much detail, but I have a lot of bills that I got to pay every month to keep those towers running. They don't run themselves, and it costs a lot of money. And I have a lot of different things, not just the obvious power, you know, and things like that, which cost me, you know, upwards of $1,000 a month per tower. But I've also got some other various things. You know, and then there's just ongoing maintenance and whatnot, but, you know, so, you know, one of these, you know, allowing one of these co-locations can pretty much at least cover the, you know, the monthly cost of me running the site and, you know, with some buffer to, you know, pay for, you know, my fees that I got to pay for the NOC and stuff like that, you know, so it's, you know, it's good for us in that regard, but, you know, you got to make sure that it's worth, you know, the juice has got to be worth the squeeze, and, you know, that's very compelling, but there are other factors. But really, you know, once they're in generally, they're fairly decent, you know, partners, and, you know, we get the right to terms. It's this negotiating process where they send out these sharks from legal teams to try to, you know, ink the deal, you know, that's just like, and then, you know, so it's really, you know, I got to do all the technical part, hold on a sec. I got to do all the technical part and do all this other stuff, you know, and make sure that it's going to work and stuff like that, it's not going to be a problem, et cetera, you know, and, but really it's a fight between, like, you know, our corporate counsel and their legal team to find to ink a deal. And that part, I just, oh, my God, makes the rather stick a
pencil in my eyes and look at that crap.
Yeah, I could imagine that's rather boring and laborious and not the fun stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah, yep. So, you know, so I'll, you know, at the early onset, we got to check out viability. There's, you know, and then there's this point of no return where they invest a lot of, you know, time and effort and finance and into doing structural reviews and things like that. And so you kind of got to make sure, you know, you want to get the cart ahead of the horse and stuff. It's just, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. So, anywho. Like I said, I T-Mobile's been a great partner. I've got T-Mobile at three sites, and they've been real good partners. AT&T I've had a little experience with, and the jury's still out on them. You know, again, I'm talking about after they deploy. And, I've only got experience with them in one spot, and they've been, you know, they've been, I don't know, the jury's still out on them. Verizon, I've not dealt with directly at all, so, you know, but you don't know until you get to have all this crap what kind of a partner they're going to be. But most of the time, they're pretty damn good once you get to the, you know, the people that actually keep this up running and then get past all this stupid contractual stuff.
Hey, John, I don't know, I think Warren dropped. I don't know what repeater you're on, but I just switched over to UST. And I picked up the end of your conversation.
It's possible. I'm too far from UMP. I just moved over to Warren.
All right. I'm back on Warren. Let me know if you're getting me.
Yepers. Yeah, until I get that dish fixed. You know, we're running a modem, and it's just it's hit and miss. So, in fact, I got to call speaking of T-Mobile, I got to call those guys and find out where we're at. May have to get up there with Dean and John and paint an X marks the spot on the building and stuff. But if not before this weekend, maybe this weekend. What's the weather supposed to be like? It's going to be nice for aerial work.
You know what, I don't know. I think it's supposed to be kind of warm, but I'm headed back up north, so I have not been paying attention to the weather down here.
Right. Well, we don't got a whole lot to do. We just got to really go up there. I'm just a sissy when it comes to climbing the ladder and going out on the roof. It's easy. You know, just Dean and John probably laugh at me. You know, they'll get up there and basically, I just got to draw a line from where the dish used to be to where it's got a point, and then right at the edge of the building, on that line, we got to put a paint mark or something and say, that's where we want the pole. So I think it's about 10 minutes worth of work.
Hey, if you don't like to climb and you don't like heights, you might as well stay off the roof, right? Especially when there's other people that are willing to do it and learn other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a few. Well, like I say, got to do that. Then once I do that, I got some other stuff I got to do to get the blessings, and then they'll give us a pipe. If they give us a pipe right on that plane, on that vector, then I can... We'll after we get it, we can just go pop the dish back on, plug it in, and we should be back online with little muss and fuss.
That'll be nice and have one major thing checked off your list.
I got to get a hold of my boy down by you and have him... keep an eye for an opportunity, because I'm really not, you know, I'm just trying to think of a way to make that happen down there, and really, you know, I gotta, he'd be the first to know, somebody's going to be there working anyhow, I could go work out here, go up there and say, hey, while you're there, you know, slap this up there for us. A lot of times they do it for quite reasonably.
Yeah, that would be nice to be able to piggyback on somebody else's work and not have to bear the burden of it, that's for sure.
I think I was telling you about the second choice for your neighborhood, and I've been eyeballing that from every angle, and it's like, something about it just kind of like, yeah, man, I don't see how this is going to work. So, I mean, it would, and certainly, you know, myself and the wrecking crew could get it done, but I really want that first site, that first choice.
Yeah, I think I remember the two spots you were talking. I don't remember which order they were. I know that there was one that was a solo pole that wasn't real climbable, and then there was another one that was on a structure. So either one of them, when you can get it there, will be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I wanted to use the monopole. That's the one I want to do. Because I've been eyeballing the structure, and the structure just doesn't look like it's going to be real amenable. It's going to be a challenge. Anyhow, did you see did Dakota text you with his eBay? Is eBaying today?
Yes, he did. He certainly pulled out a gem, hopefully. We'll see when he gets it here, make sure that it's in good working order. But, man, that's a good find, and it'll now be able to support his place, and you'll have that other one back quicker than you thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a nice package. You remember it, right? It's a good-looking package. It's well done. It's everything you need in a box. You know, and I think he was, enamored with it. And, there are others. And, I'm sure it'll be a good choice. I might have, I don't know. You know, we time will tell. You know, it's two mobiles in a box. So and I think there was something wrong with the one I got from you. I can't remember, because I had to switch the radios. It's like there was no power out or something, like it lunched its final. So I said, I'll just move the receive radio to transmit, the transfer radio to receive, and bingo, bango.
Yeah, there was something. I think I gave you, that was the first one I think I gave you. And then there's been one or two of those little Motorola boxes that are like the all-in-one package that are pretty sharp looking. I don't know if those ever worked, if you tested them out, or they're just sitting on a shelf right now, but either way, hopefully this one works well, and we figure that out and get it up, and then Dakota has one to use too.
Yeah, the CDM-based Motorola one, that was the one I got from you, and John's got that, and so I've been, you know, hoping that he would get that and get that activated and all that. He's got a ton of stuff going on, but, you know, at some point I was hoping that he would get into that and get the whole, start learning that whole all-star thing, you know, especially under the hood, you know, because we really need some people that can go in and get under the hood and stuff, especially guys that are capable of scripting controlling these things, making them say what you want them to say and do what you want them to do. It's not hard, but it does take that kind of mind.
Yep, I was actually talking to John yesterday, and boy, does he seem like he has a lot on his plate. I don't think that guy sleeps.
Yeah, I'm very fearful he's going to burn out, and we'll never see him again. So that's a concern.
I would have to agree. I don't know if he's taking all this stuff on himself or there's a nudge also, but, boy, when he was explaining some of the stuff that he's doing, I was just like, holy moly. You know, I was like, I don't think I can help you, but if there's anything I can help with, let me know. And he's like, okay, thanks, you know, and just, my God, he's got a lot on his plate.
Connected to CMN Network.
Just use AI.
Yeah, you know, I had a bunch of racket coming out of one of my other radios. Had to tend to. Yep, that's the thing. It's all fun, but, you know, there comes a point where it's not fun anymore. So, you know, you just got to be careful of that. I know I've gotten like that. I used to get under the hood of these things all the time when it was, like, all new and exciting and shiny and that. Now I'm like, I got to go, you know, I got to write a shell script to get it to, you know, or do a cron job or something. I'm like, you know, when I get around to it.
Yep, it's easy to get burnt out and overwhelmed with stuff that is fun, but, I mean, it's not all the most important stuff. You know, we all enjoy it, but you gotta balance it out.
Gotta remember, it's all about having fun. I mean, public service aspect of it is obviously very important, but equally important is, trained pool of operators, people that are technically savvy with radio. There's a lot of angles that make this hobby more than just a hobby and important, but for sure, yeah, boy, oh boy, road shuts down the one lane here in this person behind me is trying to be a booger at the pinch point. Anyhow, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of valuable things that you can learn from this. It should be fun. With all the things that the hobby's trying to do, you know, trained operators and trained people that understand electronics and radio and emergency services and volunteer and all that stuff. It's got to be fun, right? Because otherwise, you know, you'll get some traction just strictly from the people that, you know, want to, you know, do the service part of it. But I don't think that's enough to really maintain it. It's got to be fun.
Yep. I'm going to have fun going through that pallet tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that looked like CDM 1250s or 750s, I'm not sure which. Looked like 1250s, best I could tell. And then HT 750s or HT 1250s, which were, you know, somewhat vintage. All good stuff, just UHF analog. Some of the CDM stuff could do LTR. I don't think any of it did. None of those did 800. I think those were VHF low, VHF high, and UHF. So it's going to be one of those. And, you know, there is that split with the UHF stuff, but I think you can generally fake them into down into the amateur band. But most of the ones I've dealt with have been the four, you know, the range one, which covers everything. So.
Yeah, they're 1250s. Excuse me. There are a bunch of them that are UHF, and I did, I found a 5550E that is a UHF R2. So I got to see, like I said in that text, I got to do a little Googling, maybe talk to Wally, see what he says, because I know I've heard him talk about it before. But if you can get that R2 down into the 440 range, that might be a fun radio to have.
Yeah, you can. You can get those down. You can't get them much below 440, but they'll work perfectly fine in the, you know, where you want them to, where you need them to. So that's a DMR radio, and you're going to want it for that, and the repeaters and everything like that. So, you know, what are you going to miss out on? Well, if you have anything down in the 430s, you know, like nodes, but you can, nothing really seriously missing by having a
one of those pushed down to 440. Give you everything you need.
Yeah, I gotta see what else is in there. I don't know. In the past I've looked into selling some of these as surplus, and a lot of times some of this stuff is just too old. There's not really a market for it. The one interesting thing will be is if a lot of it's UHF, there might be a market for it. We'll have to see.
Could be. A lot of that stuff's been evaporating in recent years. So people are just moving to, you know, to cellular services to do that stuff, and 800 megahertz, you know, things like that. But VHF almost crickets anymore. Very specialized, you know. Just, you know, that's why it's, you know, you always see that in public safety radios. You'll see, you know, there'll be 800 plus VHF because that's a fire thing. Fire department thing. And then the UHF side, you don't see as frequently. You see that probably in like LA, New York, and but often they're running T bands, so they're the high split, and on the UHF side of the house anyhow. But you know, just reasons why certain radios pop up and that. So yep. I don't know how much, you know, there's how much UHF radio, you know, the DMR stuff. I think a lot of the businesses that are maintaining radio anymore, they're kind of moving in that direction.
Yeah, and that's why the 7000s that I've been seeing are all the UHF 7800s, so, which is a bummer, but I got to find a home for those. And then, yeah, I've been seeing a little, when I do see stuff, I have been seeing a little bit more DMR. I haven't seen any more HTs in a while, but every now and again I come across a VHF mobile DMR radio, so there's just none of that around here.
I have a home for one of those 7000s.
Yeah, I got to get some information for you.
Well, Dakota, your new Peter's on the way?
I guess so. It looks like it's in good shape. I dug through that cellar. It looks like it's kind of what Anthony does, where he, you know, they get old hardware in and they repurpose it, sell it, whatever, recycle it. And they had a amazing reviews, like tons of radios where they were sold as parts or not working for repair, and the reviews were like, radio worked great. So I was like, screw it. If I can get this thing for $200 shipped, I mean, they're all over eBay from anywhere from $900 to $1,400. So it's a gamble, but I think it'll be all right.
You know, Dakota, when you sent me that listing, as soon as I saw that, I went, oh, these guys are doing exactly what I'm doing.
I do find it really hard to believe anybody would pay that kind of money for one. That's a, you know, that's a three. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, just in this day and age and everything like that. That's a $300 to $500 repeater. You know, I can't see anybody giving more than that for something like that.
I don't either, but then I started looking up the components. The ICOM duplexer that's in that thing, because I was like, oh, man, I didn't see the inside. Maybe the duplexer's not in it, which isn't a big deal. I already have that one I can plug in. But that duplexer from ICOM is $700 alone. So, you know, those radios are probably $300-ish plus the duplexer. I mean, MSRP, right, is ICOM, so it's going to be stupid, but maybe that's what those guys are going off of. But all the reading I did and all the research I did on it, I still don't fully understand the use case, because it's got low duty cycles, so I don't know who's using it for what.
Hey guys, I just pulled up at the house. I will catch up with you in the morning. KE8RUH. Have a good evening.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you later.
Later, Anthony.
Thank you.
far as that goes, yeah, they take a mobile, which might have a 5590 duty cycle at, you know, at its 45 watts, it's a 45-watt mobile, but then they derate it because they take it down to 25 or something, and then they put it, you know, they put it in put a fan on it that runs whatever it's transmitting, and those can really increase its duty cycle significantly by running the power down and putting fans on it. You know, the question is just how low do you got to go and just how much duty cycle can you do? You know, ham radio repeaters, you know, if that was being used at, let's say, a business or a lot of times you'll see those, like, at a hospital for the security. Well, they don't talk really all that much. It doesn't get much more of a duty cycle than just a radio, but then you move into amateur service where, you know, you got a bunch of long-winded people talking about, you know, their colostomy bag and, you know, and why is the guy in front of me, an idiot driving? And, you know, we can run that duty cycle up to the moon. So, you know, that's hard to, you know, you got to really, you know, even the Motorola has an XPR 8400 repeater. It's basically two mobiles in a box. But, you know, we know in amateur service, those things won't last a minute, even, you know, as they come from the factory. You gotta run those way down. And then, if you want the power back, you got to get an outboard PA.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I don't know. I'll find out a little bit here when I get home what the programming looks like. But it looks like they're just a tri-level like a mobile would be, you know, 4.5, 25, 45. So we'll see. I mean, and I think with the footprint of my antenna, I don't think I need more than 4.5 or 5 watts, whatever it's going to output. I think 25 watts will probably be fine, but just for the sake of peace of mind and, you know, not worrying about it ever, I don't think the thing will even get warm at 5 watts, even if it's just constant transmit.
It'll probably still get warm, but I don't think it'll be, you know, but warm. 25 would probably get kind of hot. You know, can it do that with a fan? I don't know. You're going to have to check it. You know, pop that cover when you get home and put your hand over, in there and see if it's cooking. So, anywho, it's a nice unit. And for what you have paid for one, if it comes and it's working, that's money well spent. And it's a nice looking little unit. Kenwood makes some as well. Phil had one. I have one. Currently, the GRMRS machine in Mount Clemens is a Kenwood TK20. That's another really nice repeater. That's got the built-in duplexer and everything, AC supply all built in. Really a bear to program, though. I think they had a later one that came out that was much easier. But, several of the manufacturers make these, you know, smaller repeaters that pop up for a pretty good price all over the place.
NABDF. Yeah, if I had a 40, 50, 60-foot tower, 100-foot tower at the house, it'd be a different story. You know, I'd say, Sean, let's work together and put a proper repeater here. But this is a backyard repeater at the end of the day. So I think like I told you yesterday, the containment, the simplicity of it is what got me. So my logic was buying this one. It popped up today, too, which was hilarious because I was looking at all the $1,000-plus ones, and I saw one for $360. You know, as is, parts are repaired, we don't have the equipment or knowledge to test, I'll lowball them. And I figured the radio's power on, so that's a good sign. That means the power supply at the bare minimum works. I have the enclosure. If the duplexer's in there, I mean, I'm already ahead, right? So worst case scenario, I pick up a couple more of those radios for $100 each, and I got a usable unit. But yeah, you know, I don't expect anything crazy out of this. The range was the exact same as the clear node. It was just cleaner because it was more power.
I'm sure it'll be fine. So you'll get it all done up, and then, we'll go from there. So that pair is probably a good pair to use up there. The only thing I would consider is at some point maybe changing the PL, because we're going to use that same pair down by, by Anthony, and I guess you're there first, right? You know, then we'll find a different pair. But It depends on your commitment. The one I'm going to put in down there is going to be a Kate FBI repeater, elevation and all that stuff. So I kind of wanted to follow the, you know, the PL format that we use. So I kind of was reserving that PL for that one. So if you wanted to, like, right off the bat, put it on a separate vehicle, then the two could easily coexist on the same frequency.
I am here to play ball, and I will do whatever. So if I can get in there tonight and figure out the programming, and it's not a nightmare, I got no problem doing that. You know, obviously Anthony's machine is going to have a way better footprint. It's a proper machine versus my backyard homebrew, but I've got no problem changing the PL. I've got no problem changing the frequency. I just got to make sure it's the right frequency. But that being said, this one's clean, and there's no interference out there, so we're happy with it so far. Bill's home today, and he was texting me earlier saying it sounds great. So I can easily change it to, like, 107 or something, or whatever you want.
That's exactly what I was going to recommend, 107.2, because that's the standard UHF PL for the Detroit area, and yeah, as standardized as it ever got. 100 for VHF, 107.2 for UHF, and then 123 got started. I think I probably told you the story about 123 and why that happened, and it's caught on a little bit, but. I started 123 back in the 90s for reasons, and back then it mattered. So anyhow, 123 is quite established in this area as well, but 107.2 is the accepted norm for this region on UHF. All right, I just pulled in the driveway. I'm going to collect up my stuff, get inside, all that good stuff, and I'll be back on here in a bit. Look forward to hearing, you know, the heat and everything like that once you get home. W8FU after yours.
I'm at home. 172 is what I use on my nose. So, yeah, I will, as long as I can drop this programming software, I'll get it done. All right, I'll talk to you in a bit. NHF.
Well, there's no rush, because until we get that climber to do the tower work, the other one's not going to be online, so there's no rush. All right. Later. In fact, if you want, you just run that. When yours comes in, you can do the new PL. You don't have to do it. I mean, go ahead, play with it. If you want to do it, that's fine. But like I said, there's no rush because obviously, you know, while that's sitting there, it's obviously not going to be, you know, going up. So, all right. Later. W8FU.
NADBF KTMR.
Why, have you been monitoring?
Yeah, I've been working on that other radio, that DMR radio, but I've had it, the other radio next to me listening. Sounds good.
All right, good. You sound good coming into it, too. You're the first person I've heard on it besides me, which doesn't really count when I'm sitting next to the radio I'm transmitting from.
Yeah, no, it's much better. No interference or anything. Crystal clear. So sounding good on my end. Are you, where are you at right now? Are you almost home, or are you still driving?
Coming up to 32, and if you were listening, I'm sure you heard Sean and I talking about changing the PL.
Yep, I caught that in between trying to write this program.
All right, I don't know if that's going to happen tonight or not. I got the software from him. I'm going to see if I can get this. I just want to make sure the power's set right. I'm going to lower it to... I think I'm going to lower it to the lowest setting and see how that goes, because I don't think the range is going to be too crazy, regardless of the output, because the antenna is only so high. What are you putting in that code plug?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Did you mean what channels or frequencies or something else?
Yeah, just checking to see if you're struggling with it or if you knew what you were doing now.
No, I was doing the, some of the MI5, putting that in there, trying to figure out how to organize it. I, basically just building the whole code plug from scratch because I didn't want to screw anything else up that I did, and, you know, now I'm starting to get the, copying and pasting and, you know, into the, Excel. So it's getting a little easier, but I got the hotspot all set up. That's been set up for a couple days, and that's working really good. So now I just figured I'd do some of the local repeaters.
Yeah, those hotspots are pretty slick and straightforward. So two things. Since I gave you my code plug with RT Systems, you can open that, but then you can read your radio, and you can copy and paste out of my code plug directly into your RT Systems code plug. You can have multiple tabs open in the software, so I don't know if that'll make your life easier or not. That's pretty much how I program all my radios, honestly. Like, I buy that software for all of them, and then I have a master code plug, which is basically my THD75, and I copy everything in there that D-Star gets removed if it's not going into a D-Star radio, and I just paste it over, and I sync it, and I'm done.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've kind of been doing. I figured out I've been kind of using yours as more of a reference, and because it's a lot different than the Anytone software. At least looking at it, trying to figure out what goes where. So I've just been kind of piecing it together, and then once I basically get one in there in mind, then I just copy and paste it, do that group, and then move on to the next.
The cool thing with that radio and that programming software is you can get as simple or as complicated as you want. It just depends on how you want to organize your stuff. Like, I like the ICOM and Kenwood interfaces because you can easily group them versus Yaesu where you have to, like, check a box and it, like, tags the channel as the group. Like, on my Kenwood, I can just press, and my ICOM, I can just pick the group I want. The channels of that group are in there. You can do the same thing on the 878.
Yeah, I'm getting it slowly. I mean, it's doing me good to, research and kind of figure it out, because I guess what fun is it if, you know, somebody just hands you a code plug? It's easy, but you don't learn anything. So then if I ever have to change anything, I'm back to square one. At least this way I'm kind of learning it and getting the hang of it and figuring it out and putting it in, checking, seeing if it works. And so far, so good.
Yep, I've always been the same way. KF8S has sent me a couple of DMR code plugs that I've done the same thing. He sent me them over, so I have a baseline, and then I tweak them and adjust them, or I start fresh, but I reference them, and that's how I've built a lot of my DMRs, pretty much all my DMR code plugs, because it is kind of a pain to program, especially like the disconnects or connecting to talk groups. For the hotspot stuff is the difficult part, really.
Okay, TMR. Yeah, so I did have a question on the local repeaters. Do you still, like the MI5, do you still program a disconnect in there?
No, because the local repeaters, you're not steering them. You're just using them where they are. They're a link system. So you just put the talk group and color code in there, or time slot and color code in there, and you just use it like a regular repeater.
Okay, good. I did that right then. Yeah, the only thing I have I did the parrot and the disconnect is stuff on the hotspot.
Yeah, and that's really all you're doing is you're using those talk groups to steer the hotspot to where you want it to go.
All right, cool. Well, that makes me feel better. At least I'm on the right track. It's a nice radio, though. I like it. A lot of features, and you know, feels good, sounds good. So I'm pretty happy with it.
I don't know if I'm imagining things, because I think that might be the case. I'm so close to Romeo, and I'm between the
that repeater. I can hear you echoing.
Yeah, I just got the same echo on you.
You said you've got the same echo too?
Yeah, I got the same echo. It's gone now on your last transmission.
That's really weird. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gone now, though. It's back to sounding normal.
Okay. I thought it was maybe because Romeo and that frequent and, I don't know, do we call it the Almont repeater? The Almont repeater was so close in frequency that it was, I don't know what I thought. Same PL, so maybe. But yeah, it's weird that it's gone now. You think it would have stayed consistent. It's weird, because you said you're on an HD. I don't think you can hear Romeo that good from your house there, can you?
It depends. It depends on where the HD is in the house. If I, you know, leave it sit in one area, I can pick it up. It's not great. But yeah, it almost sounded like there was another, like you had the Romeo or Richmond or whatever on the other channel, and it was, you know, coming out of the speaker and echoing back.
It was just happening to you again. Is it still happening?
Yeah, you were echoing that time again.
Interesting. I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not there anymore, but definitely nice being able to use a handheld for sure.
I'm thinking it's the overlap. It's got to be. I'll change the PL when I get home first thing, and I'm hoping that it'll go away. I wasn't doing it yesterday, though. I wasn't doing it this morning.
Are you still using the original ones that you had there with the heat problem, or did you swap that out?
No, this is the new unit. I don't know what's happening to it, though.
Well, that's good. I mean, at least it's not shutting off from the heat anymore. And the, the echo was weird. It was like, it wasn't consistent. It was just here and there for a short period, and then it was gone and back to normal.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'll have to ask Sean. That's freaking weird. My gut makes me think it's just interference from Romeo because the frequencies are so close and the PLs are the same, but at the same time, it's not 100% of the time, and it wasn't doing it this morning, so it's either some sort of, I don't know, we're on the same machine. It's not a network delay. We're going RFR. Well, I don't know how that works, honestly. It's a pain. It's always something, man. It can never be easy.
I wonder if anyone else is hearing the echo. You had it that time, the last transmission.
No echo over the network. KFADS.
Yeah, the good thing is it's not going over the network, so I think it's just something on the RF side over here. So I don't know if the radios are overheating or why. I truly don't know. But if it was something related to All-Star, I would think it would be going to all the other repeaters, and it's not. Thank you, Dave. And then there was a KF8 something. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is KF8EFV. Yeah, Dakota, I was just going to let you know that I'm on the Flint repeater. I've been listening to you guys. I cannot hear the echo on here. But I'm about to go into a dentist appointment, so just wanted to pass that on, and I'll be clear. KF8EFV.
All right, well, thank you, gentlemen. That confirms that we're not bothering anyone else on the network aside from our rambling. I just need to figure out why it's doing that on the RF side for the machine itself.
Hey, Dakota, I checked the duplex setting for your apt RPT. There's a
there's one that says echo back on the network. So it's like either like 2 or 3. It's one of those settings. Duplex equals 2 or duplex equals 3.
I will do that. It's just weird because I haven't been home and I haven't changed anything, but I guess I also haven't had... Okay, no, that makes sense. I haven't had RF to RF, so yeah, you're probably right. It's probably just a setting in there somewhere. It might still be set up as option 2, I think it was, which was what, full duplex and no telemetry?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, there one of them is like duplex, no repeat. So I think that, I mean, because if you guys are hearing an echo, I'm wondering if that's what's happening.
It's almost like a network delay echo. Like, I hear it, like, this is what I'm thinking, is I hear the RF first, and then, like, there's a network portion that comes and transmits after. Like, there's, like, a delay.
Yeah, because it's, like, routing, it's, like, looping through. It's hearing you. And then it's sending it back out or something like that. I don't know. You'll have to take a. You'll just have to tinker with it. And that's probably one of the. It's one of those settings. Either like duplex. If it's on duplex equals 2, try duplex equals 3. If it's on 3, try 2.
I will do that. I appreciate it, Phil. I'm pulling in the driveway. I'm gonna drop the link to FBI. Are you around to help me test this?
Yeah, I'll be around. Just let me know what you need. Okay, DMR.
All right, man, I appreciate it. I'll be back in a bit. NADDF. Let's burn it up.
Connected to CMN Network. Mobile. You're connected to CMN Network.
Almost got a word out of that one. They're getting closer. CFA BOX.
Well, I didn't get anything out of that one, so there you go.
Nothing out of this one?
Paul, I'm tickling your feeder.
Hey, BLX heard something about repeater. Testing with EchoLink. KF8 BLX clear. F8 and BLX testing with Echo Link. Test. F8 BLX clear. KF8 testing with Echo Link. KF8 clear. Well, I have no audio on this radio. Sorry about that, guys. I'll stop messing around with it now. KF8 BLX.
KF8 BLX. KF8 BLX. You're just fine. Unless you don't hear it on your end.
I was running Echo Link in the background there just to test it out, and it's like I had got the audio on the Echo Link turned all the way up, and I can barely hear myself, so I don't know. Maybe it's just the Echo Link. All right, well, thanks for the report there. Appreciate you coming back. 73, KF8 BLX.
Anytime, KKKJL.
Tom.
Dakota.
I'm not Dakota. I don't want to be Dakota.
That sounded like him for a minute. How's it going? KCKCO.
Making my hour and 10 minutes call. Yeehaw. Coming across 57.
Which one did you want to get done today if you had time? Was that Greenville or which one was it before you headed back to Grand Blanc?
Chesney. I'm going to go right by it, but I'm not going to bother. Saturday, 5:30, they all went home, so I'll just have to do it maybe tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I just got done in Detroit. I had 8 mile and grass hit. It was a complete and utter failure. So we're going to come back next Wednesday. There's a couple other things I want to try before we restore this NVR. So hopefully it might work, but won't know until next Wednesday.
I think it's been a busy day. I didn't get turkey from the turkey place at Hastings Market in Hastings. I got tacos from Greenville. So, I'll probably be home by 7, but I'm going to stop and wash the truck and fill it back up before I come home, I think. So, maybe a little 5 extra 10 minutes after that. So, be a nice 11-hour day, and then by the time I get 11 hours, by the time I get home, and then I need to probably go, I got a bunch of email to go through from, since I really haven't been on my computer all day, so figure I can get a nice 12 or 13 hour day out of the day.
Well, there you go. Now I got hour overtime today and tried just a couple hours over the past couple of days. Hold on, I'll be right back. I'm getting my daughter's shop here so she can change the oil with her feet.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah?
Have you ever messed with these ICOM FC50 1160-11 series?
No. Friends don't let you friends use the ICOM unless it's an airband radio. I use the airband ones, but that's only an airband.
Wow.
Okay, now I'm sitting nice and still in my daughter's shop.
I know, I'm a dirty Motorola whore. They've pinched me so much.
My extent of motos is some blister pack FRS radios, so I've never been cuffed or tickled by them.
Hey, Dakota, do you want a couple Mag 1s? I got a whole box full of them. They're UHF and they're GMRS.
No, I'm good, thank you. I'm not against them. I'm just content.
Okay, just making sure. I guess.
I know. Motorola just touches me in all the right places.
DDR40.
It knows I gotta call it daddy. And
25 or 30 of the
It knows that we have a safe word and everything.
61s and 361s. That's all. Those ones are VHF. Okie doke. KCKGO. Go ahead, Fred. Throw it over to Dakota.
Doubled. I said, yeah, Motorola knows how to touch me in all the right places. And we have a safe word and everything.
With the prices they charge, you need one. Hey, Dakota, what's going on? You're plugging that cable into your computer and plugging into the microphone port, and it's just, is it saying anything? Like, can't find radio, or is there any kind of message at all?
This is a classic Windows 11 driver issue, so I just pulled out my dinosaur laptop that's probably 14 years old that still has Windows 10 on it that usually comes in and saves the day. So two things. The disk did not have the ICOM software on it, but that's not a big deal. I found it, bought it, downloaded it, so I have a copy at least. I don't think there's anything wrong with this cable. They do say use FTDI cables. This is a prolific, and it seems like it's a clone, so I think that's really the issue I'm running into on Windows 11. I have a feeling that I'll be able to get it to work on Windows 10, but we'll see here shortly. This computer was totally dead, and it is an absolute heaving pile of garbage, so I got to get the software installed.
All right. Well, I don't remember having any trouble with it. I don't remember what computer I used or anything. I just don't recall. I don't remember there being any issue. So, and that's the cable I used. I think Wally got that cable. I think he bought it. Why do I think that? I don't know. But anyhow, I hope it's the right cable. What was on the disc?
There was a bunch of Kenwood and Vertex stuff on the disc.
Does it mean just Dakota sound like he's on a D-104 wall-to-wall and treetop tall?
Leave my 705 alone.
he's like wall-to-wall.
Hold on, let me switch to my 705.
I have a Yaesu.
And it shows.
Well, it's a system fusion, so I really like it, Fred. But I also have a Motorola XPR5550 with a DTMF mic on it. So that's my baby. And then I got the Tate over here with the VHF P25.
All right, welcome to testing. It says... Oh, W8FSM.
If Sean 705 sounds good like his FT5 did, I'm going to be so pissed.
What is he going to do? I still haven't heard him come back. He said he was pushing to it.
Okay, am I in there? 705, check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I got you in there, and you do not sound the same, so I'm assuming you sound same as me.
Am I all hot and bothered as well? This is W8FU test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, you're more mid-heavy. Dakota's more high-heavy and louder, wider. You're still kind of mid-range.
Hey, Joe, this is a Motorola.
Apparently, I can hear like now. Any different mic game? Any better? Any worse?
If you just turned, it was a double, but I think you sounded better, Dakota.
Hey, let me see if we've got it.
I'm coming on this one, Fred. KCKJO. And then pass over to whoever, Sean or Dakota.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let me see if I've got
it. Don't repeat me. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, for F's sake, if I double one more effing time, I'm done. There's a TX base in trouble in the menu, Dakota. I just ran my trouble up. I was very MIDI. I should have brightened it up a little bit. All right, I ran my base up. Is this better?
Oh, I keyed on you. Sorry, Dakota, I was nothing. Sean, you sounded... When you brought your trouble up, I liked that. And Dakota, I think I liked yours better. Let's try it again.
So you said I was high heavy, so I bumped bass, left treble at zero, mic gain's at 20%.
Drop mic gain to 15 or 12 and see. But yeah, leave your tones there, it's just your fullness.
Mic gain 12%, everything else the same.
I think that'll be a lot more passable. You're still nice and full. Sean, let me see what you sound compared to him now. With the, me holding it in the same location.
Yeah, of course, I never use this radio for this, but I was just trying to figure out if it was something unique to Dakota 705 or whatnot, but it looks like they have transmit, bass and treble, and then, of course, you got gain. So here's mine for what it's worth, although I'll probably, unless I'm in the field and I need to access a repeater, I'll probably never use this in this way. But here I am. What do you think?
Carry on. I like it.
There you go. Well, Dakota, there you go. You don't have to have that horrible hot audio. I didn't realize that it was hot. I thought it just sounded like I was flat. So, good to know. Miking by default is like 60% on these things.
Yeah, it was there full. And I have RX auto leveling, and even this thing was pumping on my end for receive between you and Tom, and then, yeah, so.
Where are you at, Tom?
Oh, I'm still here. I was messing around with my audio on my Yaesu and putting it as a low pitch, because it was kind of tinny sounding. I'm sitting at my daughter's shop and getting Earl.
I'm still trying to install this code plug software on this Windows 10 piece of crap.
What about running it in compatibility mode in Windows 11? Can you do that and run it as a Windows 10?
I don't believe so, no. But the longer I'm in Windows 10, the more I realize I made the right choice by switching to Mac OS.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Once you go Mac, you'll never go back.
That's a fact. I got Windows VMs for when I gotta schlep around and do stuff that I can't do on a Mac. Other than that, I'm a Tahoe guy.
How about you, Sean? Are you a Mac guy or are you a Windows guy? I know you just picked up a new MacBook.
Oh, Sean's one of us. One of us. One of us.
I just have too many things that are Windows-based to even convert it over, plus, you know, just the money aspect alone. I mean, I can get Windows machines dirt cheap. Phone calls. KCKDO.
Oh, man, I bump things in Windows, but that's only because it has to be. Man, I bumped my dial and had to go back and reset the tone. And oh, man. Anyhow, I upgraded to the most recent, what is it, 26.0.3 or something. And ever since I did that, periodically I'll turn on my MacBook, and it'll be really, like, super, super dim. and I've got to, you know, F2, you know, get it up there and brighten it up. I never had to do that before, and it seems like since I did this upgrade, I've had to do it two or three times. Anybody else notice that?
Oh,
I have nothing, but I run my Mac dock on three monitors 99% of the time, and usually if I'm out and about with it, I adjust the brightness manually anyway, so I have not really paid any attention to that, but I'll make a note of it. I'll tell you what, if I could get the serial port working for the virtual machines, I'd be in heaven. I haven't monkeyed with it a lot, and Greg tells me he's had luck with Mac Silicon, and I'm running VMware. He's running the other one, and he says he's having luck with that programming cables and whatnot. I'm running VMware, and I am not, but I haven't really dug into it yet.
I'm running Parallels, and I still struggle with it for the radio stuff. I think it's really dependent on the radio and the drivers and needs and the programming cables, but I'm on a Windows 11 machine, and I can't get the driver to work, so I can't imagine using a Windows 11 VM on Apple Silicon, so it's kind of where I threw in the towel and said I'll just have a dedicated Windows machine for certain things.
Hey Dakota, is there something written on that bag or on that disk or something? OPC1122, is that marked anywhere?
Yeah, OPC1122 USB program, R6000 OPC1122U. So I think I just need to install the driver now. It looks like it's calling, so just according to ChatGPT here, it wants an old version of the Prolific driver, so I'm going to give that a go.
All right, well, the only reason I ask is I've got so many cables around, and I just thought, you know, could I possibly just grab one thinking, oh, this must be it, you know, but where it was, it couldn't be anything else, so it has to be the right one, but I just thought, you know, what if I gave you one for a Bofang or something, you know?
No, that's what I thought too. And I have an ICOM programming cable for my ICT10 that's a 3.5, and it's I thought, because everything I'm reading online says plug it into the port on the back, and it's like there is no port on the back. There's a headphone jack, but that's how I programmed that HT. So I tried that, even that didn't work. So I'm pretty sure it's the right cable. It's definitely a driver issue. So I'm installing this Prolific driver that was published in like 07, version 3200, and I'm on Windows 10. So if this doesn't work, I kind of am out of ideas.
KCAKGO.
There's T-Tom, terrific. Go ahead.
Download the RT Systems software, Dakota, or are you using the one right from ICOM?
No, this is old ICOM software from 2013, I think, for an ICOM repeater. So RT System doesn't have anything for it.
Since you got a Windows 10 machine, can you dumb it down with another virtual machine and drop it down to, what, Windows 7?
This computer would explode if I put a VM on it.
Well, if it doesn't work that way, let me know. I got a Windows 7 machine that I use for all my radios, and I can lend it out to you.
All right, I appreciate it. This thing's still not even, I don't know what the hell's going on with it. The cable is not happy.
It should be a PL2303 driver for it. I don't understand. Go ahead, Sean. I think, is Fred still out there? Did I lose everybody? Did I burn up the repeater?
No, I'm still here.
Sean, no, are you still here? Repeater, Tom. And HCA up.
Yeah, I was just typing something, and I had pierogi juice on my hand, so I didn't want to grab the mic. Was there a question, Dakota?
Do you recall having to put these in
repair or programming mode or anything, because it's doing the same thing on this Windows 10 machine. I even installed the old driver. It's showing up as a prolific PL2303, like Tom said. I got the COM port set right, and it's just not... It looks like it's communicating with the software, like the COM port is, but I get no answer from transceiver. Check the following COM port setting, cloning cable connections, and transceivers powered on, which all of them are good.
Yeah, I don't recall having any kind of an issue. Not saying I didn't, but didn't leave a mark if I did.
What's your baud rate, Dakota? Set it to 9600 if it's higher. 9600 is pretty much a decent standard.
It's at 8-bit 9600, so I don't know why it's just not cooperating. It's like it keeps installing, like I can't install the old version. It keeps publishing one from January of 26.
And you can't say, I don't want the new version?
No, and I don't know if the driver is installing itself from the cable or what, but when I uninstall the driver that's on here and I plug it back in, it says USB serial device, and then, I don't know, it like reverts back to the newest one.
Well, the newer driver for Windows 10, that shouldn't be an issue with the PL2303. You know, I mean, is that the ICOM cable that you're using?
Well, it's old hardware, so I don't think it's compatible with the new driver.
Are you sure you got the right software for that specific model radio?
I think so. It said, it's called CS, yeah, I just updated to the newest thing again. It said CS F3020, F5010, and F5020. And that's for the 5011 and 6011 FC models.
All right, I think it was emailed to me. Let me check my email real quick. I'll send it to you.
I mean, like I said, if it doesn't work there, I got a Windows 7 machine, and I got a multi-end cable that does 3.5 mini, two different types of RJs, and does the ball fangs too, so... I can let you use that too and try it. Are you going to be in the office tomorrow? Because I got to go down that way real quick for a doctor's appointment at 8:20. And then I can bump up to your office and drop off the laptop, the cable, and the power.
I'll be there, but I don't think the PC is the issue at this point. I think there's... Sean might be on to something. I might have the wrong software, but this is what I was able to find for that model radio, so who knows.
I guess give that a shot when Sean passes through and then just text me if you want to try it on my machine. It's an old dog. It's a slow dog, but it's a reliable dog.
Hey, Dakota, you got the construction manual? And I don't mean for the... mobiles for the repeater, because I've got it here in PDF form. I can get it over to you.
No, I only have the mobiles, so that'll be appreciated.
All right. I could probably just drag and drop it in the Discord if you can get to that.
Yeah, Discord's launched right now. I had 18 updates, apparently.
That's one of my complaints about Discord. Always updating, especially on Mac. Where are you? I'm trying to find you here. Oh, there you are. Okay, here it comes.
It's annoying on Linux because you have to reinstall it basically every single time you open it.
I don't know if I've put Discord on Linux. And first page here, third page here, 20 watt continuous full duty cycle operation. So there we go.
All right, 20 watt continuous full duty. Wait a minute. Read this. Do you have to have it on a particular channel for it to program?
I
don't know. I was reading things where it said hold, like turn it off, hold P0, plug it in, turn it on, hit read, and that wasn't working either. And by default, I don't think those channel buttons, you can map them to do certain things, and by default, I don't think they are. Did you confirm which version of the software you need, or what you used?
No, I'm still searching. That's how I found this instruction manual. I'm still searching to find out, to see if I've got it stored anywhere. I think Wally was somehow involved in this. I don't know why he would be, though. Maybe he was just curious? Anyhow.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if I have the right software here. You might be correct.
Connected to CMN Network.
Oh, I do have the wrong one. So it's ICOM CSF100S. I wonder if these are different mobiles than what I thought I had.
Well, that number you said didn't ring a bell with me. What does it say right on the radio itself?
I'm going to double check your disk here again, but I did not see any ICOM code plugs on there, or software.
Yeah, I thought either Wally sent it to me, or let's see here. Here's where I posted a picture. Hooks easy enough, cable, Amazon software free, send me a picture of the other side. So Wally did get the cable and the software. Let me see how he sent it to me.
Yeah, so this disc has like A8, Bofang, HYT, Kenwood, Moto, SMP, Vertex, and some Chinese lettering.
Chinese is for Duck Hung Lo.
Yeah, so I sent a picture of this to Wally. He says, cable's $20, Amazon software free. And so I sent him a picture, and then I'm just trying to see where the hell the cable, where the software would have came in.
I just can't believe that it's not on ICOM's website.
I'd be shocked it wasn't on that disk. That's puzzling.
Dumb question. Did you try Googling it and see if it comes up with a different link?
There's just a high likelihood I'm going to download a virus.
Yeah, I get that one.
Now, I'm usually real good about whenever I get software, I've got a folder structure, and you know, by manufacturer, by model, and anything related to that. I even have a folder for this particular repeater, but all that's in it is that PDF file, which is weird. So where the hell did I get the software from, and why don't I have a copy of it?
I don't know, but I got a feeling I'm about to torch my computer. I'm not running this. It's setup.exe.
Are you talking about that disk?
Is a setup.exe file? Is there a batch file that you can run?
Dakota, was that exe file on the disk that... that was with that cable?
No, this is from some sketchy site. There's nothing ICOM related on the disk.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on that one. KCK Joe Fred Easton. I haven't done that for a while.
Can you read the service tags on the
actual radios in there and see what they say the model is.
No, they're underneath the radios. Do you have a link to the cable?
I do not. I think Wally got it.
I'm wondering if... Oh, wait, here's one. Here's the cable for $22. I'm wondering if they have the software downloadable somewhere. One piece CD driver not included the software, so I don't know where the hell he got the software.
Well, he wrote me, he said the cable's $20 and the software's, he said, quote unquote, free on Amazon, which nothing's free on Amazon.
Trying to find the cable that he was pointing you to. Sometimes you can get downloads off of Amazon. There's links for the downloads for the software right on the ads or whatever cable he's sending you. Okay, I think BLX.
That's a good point. The problem is I don't know, but can you search Amazon for somebody selling that cable to see if that's the case?
I found the exact cable because the tag that's on the cable and the ad or the... Oh, wait, here's a different one. Nope, no. The ad specifically says no software included. What's funny is half these sites that list the software show it as discontinued, so if it's discontinued, why can't I get it?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd be loosening up them screws and trying to get a look at that tag on one of those radios, because I'm sure the radio model number is significantly different, and that might send you down the right path.
So that's what I bought, and it wasn't working. It's FC-6011 for UHF, 5011 for VHF.
Oh, I thought you said you couldn't see what was written on the radios.
I can't, but I looked at this repeater and figured out what radios they put in it, and it's ICF-6011, and that's the programming software that I bought, and it doesn't read the radio. I don't understand how that works.
Just FYI, I have a couple CPSs that if I don't do the drop down from the top list of what, you know, where it says COM port, and then actually physically click on the COM port number and then the OK. If I don't physically do all of that, it won't read. But if I go back and I physically click on everything, all of a sudden it reads. Just another thought I had. KF8BLX.
I just tried that, and it did not cooperate. I changed the COM port number and everything, too, in the driver settings just to try, because it's saying COM 1 through 4 is what these old ICOMs want, yada, yada, because it's defaulting to 13. I don't buy that, but, yeah, this is going to be a bummer. I'm going to have to figure out how to get that software, because I've got one of these things coming.
Well, I got it, but it's probably on one of my older laptops at work. So, it's just I don't have it here. And so I will make it a point to look for that tomorrow.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I found it on eBay. It's like $30, and then I found it on another website, like $75, but it's only the physical disc.
This is KE8WUO.
Up, Jono.
Not much. I'm just listening to you guys trying to find the software. And there's a Blue Max 49 on eBay that sells programming cables. He makes them himself. He's got a lot of reviews and whatnot. But he's a real good source. He's been selling them for years. And he lists that they have to say that the software is not included because otherwise it gets perceived that they're selling it. But he will give you whatever software you need if you need it. So I would take a look at him.
The thing is, we've already got the cable, and I've already programmed it, so we've got the software. So, you know, we're already there. It's just that we're not, something's not going on either. He's not able to get it running, or the software is wrong or something like that. But I've got it, because that very unit he's trying to work on, I programmed with the cable he's got in his hand. So the only thing left is the software or a compatibility issue with his, you know, drivers and his computer. But I think he's been through enough of that to rule that out. I'm thinking maybe it's software. I'm gonna figure it out. It's got to be on one of a couple of repeaters or computers that I use at the shop when I need older stuff.
No, just thought I'd throw it out there. AEAWUO.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I just found his page. I shot him a message, and it says right here, radio programming software available on request after purchase. How much is the cable? $32.
Again, I'll likely have it tomorrow. You would be able to get it faster than he could get it to you, probably. Well, unless you've got it downloaded.
Yeah, I already wasted $25.
Well, on a good note, I got rid of that non-home channel on my XPR. So, Dakota, you're ordering another cable and a free disc, or are you waiting for Sean to send it over? I didn't get the last part of it.
He must be busy.
Did you finish all your nuts?
Oh, God, no. I just nibbled at him a little bit.
Oh, I think I polished off probably about a quarter pound of the Mardi Gras mix. I only bought a half a pound in the bag. Seems a little bit lighter. Now, the goofy thing, Sean, is I went into the CPS software for the 5550, went into general settings, and the home channel was set to K8FBI Richmond, so why I kept saying a non-home channel is beyond me. You know, home zone was home, and that's what I'll, well, he has a program, so, I don't know, maybe a glitch, but got it eliminated.
Is that part of that scan for signal strength thing that you guys are doing?
No, it's when I power up the radio, the home zone is home, and then the home channel should be K8FBI Richmond. But as I'm driving, every 2 minutes, it's telling me that it's a non-home channel when I'm on GMRS or even on 51. So it says, from what I said, what I read is to turn it to none, and then I won't be reminded every 2 minutes. So I got rid of it.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I cracked out the programming cable on mine yesterday, and because it had that busy channel lockout, so I had to fix that on my node frequency, and there was some sort of noise in the site I was at. It was like F nothing, but it was enough to keep me from being able to transmit. And it was just like some ambient noise in the tower site. So I was real frustrating. I had to hold my portable just right to be able to key up because of that little F nothing noise causing the busy channel lockout. So I went ahead and got that fixed. Other than that, I had a monkey around. I know that Wally's got them programmed to scan, to do the roaming, and something to do with the number of frequencies you have to put in there. One of them, he makes the home, you know, when it's on that one, it displays differently than when it's roaming. So
I don't know. I'm still trying to spend some time with it, and I just haven't had any time to look at the software. I do so little with you know, the DMR radios.
Yeah, I do. On my other one, I had an area where I did an IP connect zone, and then I set up 51 and 52 east and west, and it just moved it around as I went around, but he did drop the DB so it sees the towers a little bit easier, I guess you can say, and latches onto them, and so far, she's been pretty faultless in that aspect.
Yeah, I've got to get mine out and about again. It was not performing really well on the way out to Muskegon. And I threw it on the, I aligned it, and it had some issues. But so now it's all perfectly 100%. And I made some adjustments in the program as well. So I'd like to see if it's a, plus it was updated while you sent me the most current code plug that people are running. So all that, and we'll give it a try next time. I just don't know when the next time I'm going to be flaring out that away. Oh, man. But he's got it set up so that, like you know, you got the east and the west. And I guess, like the Mount Clemens is set up as the, is like the home channel or something. So when you turn it on, it's right there. It doesn't have to roam. Unless it needs to, but if Mount Clemens is there, so it's nicer, it gets you on faster, but you don't see that same display, you know, you do that when it's roamed over to another repeater where you see, you know, the three-digit abbreviation. So I gotta try to look into it and see if I understand how it works so I can change that. It's no big deal, but it was kind of weird because I turned it on and it never looked like it was roaming, but Wally says that's just because it's on the home channel and it doesn't need to, so.
Yeah, you set mine up differently because I drive so much. But right now it's on the home zone of home, but I might change it to, since I talk more with it on FRS and or GMRS right now, you know, when I'm working with my, the other guy, you know, that's where I mainly go to. And then when I'm done, then I separate from him. I'll go over to 51 and roam there. I'm still looking at the trickery of the software. So, hey, as long as it works for me and I can get on the air, I'm a happy camper. He set it all up. He sweeped it, you know, aligned it and whatever, all the little stuff that you guys do to him, and then set it all up for me. So it was basically plug and play.
November 8 X-ray, Jalou.
Go ahead.
Hey guys, a quick favor. I've got a roll-up J-pole strung up here in my back room, and I was hoping you could tell me how I'm sounding.
Well, I don't know what repeater you're on or how far you are from it, but you are pretty much full quieting. Sound good. Your audio is a little light, but it has nothing to do with the antenna performance. Sounds like the antenna is working. I just don't know what repeater you're on or how far you are from it.
442.6, and I'm at 13 in Van Dyke.
Well, can't tell you if your antenna is working or not, because you could probably take the antenna off of that radio and work it just as well. So, and well, that's right, Ron. I didn't put two and two together there, but yeah, you could probably stick a noodle in the back there and then be full quiet.
All right, thank you much. I just wanted to make a contact with it before I tried it out on a net. So with that, I'll leave you guys back to it. Sorry for interrupting. And they take that.
No problem. Dakota, where'd you go?
Probably figuring out that cable. I think the cable's fine. If it's at the Windows recognizes it as a PL2303 prolific, then that should be fine. I think it's the software itself, in my opinion. KC8KJO. You know, Sean, I was just thinking about it as an afterthought, that when I dropped off your peanut package, I should have dropped off the passies that I got from up north. That's sitting in my freezer. I haven't even hit him yet.
So you already brought me some. That's, that was a done deal.
No, I bought extra. And my mother-in-law passed away, so she never got to enjoy them. Now they're sitting in my freezer.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it. I was just Steve, UHG. He had always told me about this place, church, right downtown Mount Clemens. And I finally got by there and I got some. And I was rearranging the freezer the other day because I went shopping. And I got one in there. I'm like, oh, man, I forgot.
Same here. I was going through looking for a package of ground beef. I'm like, oh, look, pasties. And I never even thought of bringing them for lunch today. Then I had Sloppy Joe's, since I have a taste of the Red Gold Sloppy Joe mix. You know, got to use that up.
Anyhow, I was going to ask you earlier, then before all this hoopla started, about a company that does some similar stuff to what you do. Not the fire control stuff, not so much the alarm stuff or anything like that, and just going to see what you knew of them. Let me see here if I can get the name. Conti.
My coworker Brad, his brother is actually a foreman, I guess you could say, quote unquote, or a head or a lead or whatever it is in the union with Conti.
Hey, I got a HVAC guy that he is gold, and he's changing employers, and he's going over to Conti, and I am seriously thinking about moving with him. But I've seen him around, but I don't know much about them.
They're big, and they're part of 58. So if you can follow them, follow them.
Yeah, we've done it before. He was with Delta Temp for a number of years, and then he moved over to this other place, and we followed him then, and now he called me and said Monday he will be with Conti, and so I'm pretty much thinking about following him again, because he is, like I said, he is the NAS, and I can't even imagine having to start over with it. There's a bunch of other situational things going on as well, But, yep. So, I don't know much about them, but they look like they're a pretty big outfit.
Big outfit, highly rated, and like I said, they're part of 58. So, if you have the ability to do it, then I would strongly suggest it.
Okie doke. Well, I'll have to hit you up about what this part of 58 is. I don't understand that, but... don't save it for later, because I got to do something. I got to tend to something here. I've been sitting here on the radio longer than I expected. And stuff needs a doing before twilight. W8FU.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up to the house, so perfect timing. Yeah, I will, I'll text you what it is, what I mean, and you can answer at will. 73.
KCKGO. KTMR at ADDF.
KTMR. Yeah, it's still there.
drop the FBI link to test something real quick.
Connected to CMN Network.
Dakota, you still listening here?
John, Dakota was disconnecting, I heard him say, about 5 minutes ago. He's disconnecting from FBI. I don't know if he's back. KE8RUH.
Yeah, I heard that as well, but then I just looked down at the dashboard and I see him connected back up. So I think he's on both with his node and with the repeater, I think.
Okay, you know more than I do. I just figured I'd let you know what I heard.
Oh, yeah. No, I just, I see him and... Yeah, they're all connected up, hopefully, so. All right, I just trying to help them figure out this darn software thing. It's, something's going on there, I don't know what. I know I got it, right, so get to the shop and I'll be able to get them squared away, but it's weird, I don't know what he's got there.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm just sitting here messing with, trying to update a DMR radio, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I gotta go grab my other radio and test it, see what I'm doing. It might be just something silly, or it might be working. I'm sitting in the basement and I just didn't get out.
Everybody's playing around. That's good. All right. We'll be here. W8FU.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. KE8RUH.
You got out, Anthony. Maybe you can hear me now. I said you got out and you made it into Detroit, Anthony. Give it up to here. Yeah, I copy you. K8GMR.
NADBM.
Came through that time. K8GMR.
Alright, cool. I don't know why the update nuked my entire config, but it did. Dakota, did you see my question? Text it to you? I do now. That is the software that I need. I bought the stuff for the mobiles, like, independently. I was going through my Discord, and I saw Wally. Wally messaged me in June with his phone number and said call him. So I'm like, oh, man. So I just called him, and he said that Phil should have the software if you don't. He said KPR should have the software. Wow, I don't know why Phil would have that software, but okay. Well, here's the problem. Phil is leaving tonight or tomorrow morning for Hawaii. He won't be back for 10 days, so. I don't think this is dire or the end of the world. I had to cover off this thing for the last hour while it's been pretty much nonstop people talking, and it's like I can lay my hand on it. So I'm pretty sure it's set to low power. Well, they say 20 watt continuous. That's how they're shipped, so I wouldn't worry about it. Let it rip. If that's all you're worried about, let it rip. And I got the software. I just got to figure out where it is and which computer I got it on, and I'll ship it over to you. You'll have it by the end of the day tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not sweating it. The only thing I was worried about was it getting too hot, but based on how it's been this evening, I'm not worried about it. I'll get it when I get it, and then I'll just update the PL, and then we'll be done with it.
Like I said, even that you don't have to do, because until we deploy that one elsewhere, there's really no need to change the PL. And since you're going to be programming yours when you get it, you just program it for whatever PL you choose, and that one just stays where it's at in its permanent location.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to worry about it. We're chilling. And the fan I ordered was the wrong size anyway, so I'm just going to wait till I get that one in. This fan's not that annoying. It's not getting hot, and it's working perfectly. I'm going to leave it. ASL had a bunch of updates, though, and it completely nuked my USB tuning.
What got nuked?
In ASL, there was a bunch of software updates, which I stupidly ran them, knowing what damn well was going to happen, and it completely wiped my simple USB tuning.
Man, it shouldn't. Jeez. And, That's surprising.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why it wasn't transmitting into FBI, and I went and looked. All my values were reset for transmit and receive, so I don't even know if I sound good. I can't remember what that was set to. Pre-emphasis got turned back off. It's actually still off, it looks like. And then I had to reset the COS, CTCS, and all that.
Yeah, you'll want to turn de-emphasis on, because you're back to kind of bright and nasally. And so you want to de-emphasize the incoming.
All right, now it is. But, yeah, it was weird.
Much better.
Learning all the things I didn't think I'd have to learn.
Oh, come on, that's the fun part. All right, I'll let you go. I've been looking around, and that's the icon, or that's the software I think I discovered you need. And like I said, it doesn't matter what we discover. I know I got the stuff that worked because it's what I used to program it with that cable. So I will find it, and I will make sure you get it. And I have no idea how I got it, where I got it from, whether it was on the disk or whether it came over email or, but I don't know how else I would have got it. I would have had to have downloaded it somehow, and I don't see any link anywhere. I've checked all the avenues that Wally and I talked back and forth, and I checked my emails, and nothing. So I have to get it somehow.
Well, I'm like you. When I get stuff like that, I hoard it. So I know you got it somewhere, just because the stuff's always a pain to find. But, yeah, I'll get it when I get it. It's not the end of the world. My unit, we don't even know if my unit works. So, we'll worry about that when the time comes.
And one final thought, is it too late to get to return that duplexer for a refund?
Nope. Today, and unfortunately, I'm out of the window.
Figures.
Considering I got an entire repeater set up for what I paid for that duplexer, yeah, that's it's kicking the knackers.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.